The aerial bots are taking their shots. Silver Bullet's fighting. Combaticons just changed to be rearranged to make the super robot Superion. There we go. Yeah,
that's brutal!
God, you are white.
No, that's Bruticus!
What the f*** is going on down there?
Oh ho yay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Vangelis here with your regularly scheduled WTF at TFW bumped over to Friday because I was busy, and I'm selfish like that. I am joined today by Aaron.
Excuses.
Aaron, what was I doing 5 minutes before I got here on Skype?
Sleeping.
Yeah!
Shows your dedication. I mean, we go all the way to Madison Square Garden for primetime.
Is this prime time?
And no, well, I'm just saying, you showed this wonderful dedication flying across the continent, and then you call it off one day, and then you sleep in the bed.
Listen, man, WWE workers work every day of the week. The heart and... I don't know where I'm going with this, but hi, Omega's Prime!
Have you seen the WWE lately? They don't do much working.
Oh, no, I only saw them in this one video game I was playing, but I'm sure they're just like that. They were pretty rough. Like, dude totally got hit in the face with a ladder.
You're just like that. They're very shiny, very stiff hair.
Let me just go slightly off topic. What's funny is I have not watched WWE in many years, but I gotta say, there was this dude in this video game I played called John Morrison with, like, this giant furry cape, and I think that the dude was kind of awesome. So I don't know what that makes me, if I'm a bad person now, but
makes you a sheep.
Ha-ha! I thought The Miz looked stupid, though. He has short hair. also with us today, because our very own Lupus Convoy has been waylaid by the powers of real life, we are joined by Monsieur Proto-Man.
So let's see. If Sergeant Slaughter is in the WWE continuity, and he's also in the G.I. Joe continuity, does that put Transformers in the WWE continuity?
It depends on whether or not you're going to follow the Hector Ramirez theory.
And then, technically, Rocky Balboa was in the G.I. Joe universe.
Along with the fridge.
Yeah, this is painful.
We need kiss play. That's what we need.
Geeks!
Sorry, so I didn't Aaron, do that. Human Alliance Hotshot with Hulk Hogan.
Aaron, tell us all about planes.
The hot rod.
Okay, so what do we want to talk about? Do we want to talk about Joint Strike Fighter? Do we want to talk about the fact that Iran flew F-14 still?
We want to talk about Transformers, and we're going to start off with ice. Pure ice. It's an ice sculpture, in fact, that was made of a character some of you may have heard of called Optimus Prime from a movie you might have seen. Ati Pedroso and Michel de Koch from Switzerland did an ice sculpture of Optimus Prime from the movie, and it's pretty big. And ice sculptures generally are pretty cool. Now, yes, the proportions of this guy are, you know, they're a little bit screwed up, you know, because you're sculpting it out of ice. But if you keep that in mind, I think it's pretty damn cool how they used, I'm guessing, some kind of ablative shaving technique to add those lighter, slightly more opaque parts to the ice?
I would bet that's two different types of ice.
Ah, okay.
Because I know I've seen a show before where they talked about ice sculptures. I don't know if anything was quite this big. But for the super clear ice, they have to use, like, distilled water in something that freezes very, very slowly so that you get... That's one big ice crystal, whereas the other stuff may be something where they had a different freezing process because it looks like it's pieces. You know, you have the shoulder gear things, you have the windows.
I figured that they were like fastened on. Sigil. They were probably fastened on via some kind of additional freezing process. And also his feet are enormous. But again, I figure that and his strange proportions are mostly due to the fact that he's made out of ice. And that introduces all kinds of structural problems.
Ice is he's taller.
I would think load bearing material just to keep it from falling over.
Yeah, that's what I figured. It's because if you made him look, you know, humanoid with the normal proportions from the movie and the longer legs, everything would be thinner and easier to crack. When he hit, you know, closer to melting point, he'd probably, something would just break in the hip or in the ankle.
See, I'd sooner just assume they based it on the robot hero. I mean, it looks exactly like one to me.
Well, but everyone knows the movie more, so they're all like,
They well, the had movie robot heroes.
Yeah, I've got one right here from Best Buy from the first release.
I don't know what...
With the Metalliflake or whatever the heck they call it.
I don't know
it.
What robot heroes are.
He's doing a disco
are.
Pose with one hand up in the air.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. What's a Transformer? So what's your thoughts on this, Omegas?
Why didn't someone get this idea for Megatron when the first movie came out?
Because it would have been far easier.
It could have passed it off as a scene from the movie.
Yeah.
I commend them for using the movie design. That's far more complicated to produce.
I know, and that's what made me say, like, you know, a lot of folks might go, like, oh, pff, movie. But I'm like, no, dude, because it's movie, this is bigger news, because that's a lot harder to get across silhouette-wise. And in ice, of all things.
Yeah. Yeah, you could just stack blocks and make the original Prime. People would recognize it.
Yeah.
This is, like, depth to it. This is neat.
Absolutely. Aaron, do you have any other thoughts on the Ice Prime?
The thing I thought that could have made it, taken it from the level of cool that it has now to a higher level of cool, would have been to have some, like, gelled lights behind it to make him, I mean, since he's mostly red in the chest, have, like, a red light behind it to make it kind of glow. However, then you'd have to deal with the head and all that stuff, so it could end up looking kind of bad, but it would have been interesting to see with three or four different sets of gelled lights.
And why would they need to be gelled lights?
Gelled lights because that's, you have the light and then you have a gel piece that you put over the light to make it turn colors.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to offer some kind of solution to how putting lights on an ice sculpture might actually make it melt faster.
No, yeah, it would melt faster, but that's just, I did, like, crew and stuff in plays in high school, and so they were always gelled lights.
I thought this was going to be all, like, using gelled lights.
No,
like, well,
no.
Tell
so
me
if,
about
if,
gelled
if you wanted
lights,
to get through,
like, well,
with some crazy technology, you could have gone with, you could do LEDs, because LEDs run very cold, and you could actually, had they really been thinking about it, implanted the LEDs before the freezing process, because they now have LEDs that are implantable into skin. There's a mouse that has a little tiny, like, half-inch by half-inch organic.
Nice save.
And so you could have done something like that. However, I was thinking on the cheap, not super high-tech.
All right. I am nodding and holding my hand forward and nodding. So,
okay.
Absolutely. Proto Man, your thoughts on the ice sculpture?
Well, for one, I guess this guy should probably hang out with the guy who did the Optimus Prime out of balloons not too long ago.
Happy cabbie!
What if he did balloons in ice?
I don't know. It's cool. You always see that kind of stuff. There was not too long ago, I remember there was a guy who was making all these different anime characters out of wood.
Yeah,
cool,
I've seen
too.
A wood prime.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. So maybe if you get all these guys together, you could do something artistic.
Or have a really cool version of the Three Little Pigs.
Well, isn't there a material that a guy is trying to push to make boats out of, or at least was, called pycrete, which is a mixture of ice and wood?
Then that since World War II.
Yeah. So what if we made a pycrete Optimus Prime?
Then that would be nasty. You wouldn't have the cool clear effect.
It would just look like a bunch of sludge in the shape of a person.
Yeah. What is this? It's all nasty and gray and kind of icky.
Well, Aaron,
it looks like Prime.
Do you
That's
think it
cool?
Do you think it would at least be pretty cool?
Yeah. Ka-dunch. I tried to do that earlier on the laptop, but it doesn't resound the way that a drum kit would.
Do you think that we could maybe chill out with these sculptors and give them a few more cool ideas to run by the freeze box of ideas they might have in their mental refrigerator? Let's kick some ice! All right, moving on. New picks.
I knew there had to be a bad pun in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah, there were like 10 of them where you're not paying attention. I was sitting here trying.
Paying perfect attention. Some of us have a higher standard for comedy.
I don't know what you mean about comedy.
No, I don't, but
you know. This is art. It's the art of punnery, all right? My tongue is my paintbrush. Protoman, special guest host, paint us a new pick with your tongue and tell us about it.
I'm not going to go with an easy Rodimus one this week. I'm going to go
Like Aaron said when you came on of like, oh no, now I'm going to have to pick a new pick.
No, I'll let
Protoman's here. He's going to
Yeah. No, that was actually like my second or third down the line, so it was just...
It was just a given. Yeah. He was being nice to me. I'm going to go with the Kabaya Wave 3 that was revealed a couple of days ago.
Yeah, so Wave 2 actually happened.
Apparently. Yeah. See, Wave 1, in my opinion at least, considering how much it was going for at BotCon, you know, and it came out literally 2 weeks after BotCon 2010, and everyone was already trying to get rid of them. So I thought, okay, that was something that was an idea, and now...
Wait, Wave 1 came out? I had Wave 1 before BotCon.
They're selling it at BotCon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they were selling it at BotCon. It was like 2 weeks in.
Oh, 2 weeks in. I thought you said 2 weeks after. I'm like, no, what? No, no, no.
Then you got some kind of crazy exclusive there. And I was building them at the bar. And so I thought, oh, no one liked these. They didn't sell well because everyone's trying to get rid of them at the show. And then, oh, hey, we got Wave 2, and it's kind of like in a different direction they're trying to do it. They're, you know, oh, we're going to use a titanium design. We're going to use a classics design. We're going to use a weird classics fusion with IDW design with the Prowl. But in the end, I figured that one would do even worse because it's not Optimus Prime and Optimus Prime and Star Saber. It's Ultra Magnus, which a handful of people like, and Prowl, which a handful of people like, and Jetfire, which a handful of people like. So I figured after this, that'd be it. It'd be done. You know, we'd never hear about this ever. And now we have a Wave 3 out of nowhere.
The reason why I ask if Wave 2 happened is because when we saw the pics, I thought those were some guy on 2chan who got them early. And I don't recall anyone saying they got Wave 2, but...
It's because it did come out. It's just no one pre-ordered or was really excited about it. I think they're interesting figures. I'll pick them up again, like a whole set of them, if they're cheap. But, I mean, they're your typical candy toy, you know, either paint it up crazy or use all the stickers that it comes with.
Well, and they're kind of candy toy minus, too, because they're Takara Tomy candy, or sorry, Kabaya candy toy, which... It has been out-engineered by Bandai's Mini-Plow line for ages, so it was like, they're cool, but there's
Kabaya
cooler.
Has been doing Transformers-related stuff for years. Years. Yeah. I'm talking like 85 at least. So, but always what they would do, they're always into the whole, like, let's make a simple downscaled version of what the factory workers are making right now. And that's always been their game, and with the exception of, like, the PDSD series and all those little cutesy stuff. But in general, that's always been their... So now it's like, okay, well, let's see, what did the Japanese not get this time around? Oh, they didn't get, you know, titanium stuff, so we're going to give them an Ultra Magnus, I guess. I don't know how they make the decisions.
Somewhere in the Kabaya.
Because also, like, I with the first wave, you thought you had an idea... of how they're going to go about it. Okay, they're going to stick with characters that all have the same colors, you know, so Optimus, and Star Saber. Okay, that works, red, white, blue. And then they just throw us this left field with, like, Jetfire, Ultra Magnus, Prowl, and you're just like, how is this going to work? Oh, we're just going to completely cover them in stickers.
Yeah, Prowl's going to be leftover black plastic. Jetfire and Magnus are white.
And a sticker sheet that's, like, twice the size of the box, you know, so... It didn't make any sense, that one. But now this one, they're kind of going back to the original idea. God Bomber and Super Jinrai are red, white, and blue. And then they're like, well, what other, you know, characters, what red, white, and blue? And they're like, oh, well, let's go for high-tier characters that might actually sell the set this time. They went with a G1 Starscream.
Yeah, because this gave me two thoughts at first. My first thought was, hey, God Bomber doesn't look all that amazing, but I wonder if that Super Jinrai has some cool, you know, little mini ball jointy engineering touches, given that it's a tiny candy kit. And then my second thought was, I distinctly recall the early part of the last decade was dominated by a lot of retailers trying to clear out their unmoving overstock of Japanese reissue God Jinrais.
Oh my God, they're
30 bucks.
But yeah, BotCon 2005, I think it was, there was a guy that was like, yeah, $20 for like that one, let alone the one that we got here, which was that Apex Armor Optimus Prime. But even the Japanese version, people were trying to get rid of it.
Yeah,
I got mine from, I think, a Big Bad Sale where they were like, look, just take it.
So I was going into this
$5
like,
shipping, so $35 was was that whole big mamma jamma.
Yeah, and I was going into this thinking, like, man, like, I wonder if maybe now is the if he's at least getting a candy kit, maybe now is the time for God Jinrai to finally rise up again after that period of I guess just people being sick of him.
Well, yeah, they
turn
got
around
my
and
hopes
sell
a Star Saber.
Well, Master Force is a great series, and Jinrai is a pretty cool character, but it's just he's plagued by a toy that, in all honesty, I think everyone has at one point or another, at least the Power Master Optimus Prime. Mm. And this one, I don't know, like, it doesn't, see, I'm looking at the pictures and I'm like, I don't see that there's going to be much of a big shock or difference, because even basing from what I've seen from the first wave, the Optimus Prime didn't bring anything new to the table, the G1 one.
Mm-hmm.
The Classics one was just a dumbed down version of the Classics Optimus Prime or the Henkei one. And the Star Saber one was kind of like a dumbed down version of the Robot Master. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So this one, I get a feeling it's going to be a lot of the same. And not to mention, in the past, Kabaya actually did do a God Jinrai,
yeah.
Kabaya. So I'd have to actually do some research and see if they just got lazy and just like recasted the mold.
Would this be the first time we'd get like a multi-decades down the road reissue of a Kabaya model kit?
I'd have to think about that. Not counting the Chinese bootlegs that were resurfacing.
Yeah, I mean, like Kabaya putting out.
Yeah,
with
an official. Yeah, probably. That's a strong possibility.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about it. Like, if Kabaya, like, I've never heard of Kabaya revisiting their molds. Like, I'm not even sure if they have their molds still. I don't know.
No,
I don't
probably
know. Probably
not.
I don't know if those probably candy toy not. Molds even survived the process as well.
Well, considering how we always talk about mold degradation, imagine with those.
Yeah.
It's putty at this point.
But, I mean, it is cool, though, and it's a cool-looking set. And, you know, having two figures in the set who combine is a new venue to look at in that venture they're doing. So, especially if it has enough stickers, or if at least has the sculpted detail, I am actually more interested in having, like, a tiny God Jinrai than a lot of the other stuff that they put out.
I that's probably the reason why they even went with this character, was it's the same way how, like, you had stuff... like the Mega PVCs, how, oh, hey, here's Star Saber. And we might as well put Victory Leo so you could have that gimmick, you know?
That was
even though that entire line didn't transform, but we're going to give you this combination gimmick. So who knows, maybe Wave 4, if somehow they surprise us and we get a Wave 4, we might get a Victory Leo or...
Mm-hmm.
That was my pre-show joke of, you know, there's some poor kid that just gets the God Bomber.
Yeah!
Come on, Mom!
And I recall...
Well, the good news is, actually, all the boxes aren't blind-packed.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, but still.
Which is typical. You know, usually, Kabaya, they blind-pack their stuff. This time, they didn't. You actually have the box art of what you're getting.
Well, so, this also reminded me that, I remember when we all finally, with the reissue glut, so many of us got our hands on God Jinrai, and we all learned, how uninteresting a toy God Bomber really is.
Yeah,
completely.
And I remember, this is one of the first things I learned when I was still in, like, I think it was like 1997, like when I was like 13, one of the first bits of Transformers lore I learned was that there was a catalog picture God Bomber who's awesome, who never got made, and then there's the God Bomber that actually came out.
Oh, yeah, that was the first one, which is much more bulky and a lot more, I guess you could even say anime accurate.
Yeah,
because
bigger
way the
wings
were done.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then, wow, like the dumbed-down version we got, that's kind of like depressing. You can see, for the people that are wondering, you could see those in like the Generation Guidebook. That's probably the easiest source for that.
It's first time I can really recall that happening in the Japanese side of G1, where it was literally just like, here's a really cool looking toy in the catalog. You go out to buy it. It's packaged in trailer mode. You bring it home, open it up, and it's like, wow, the boots don't have toes anymore. The wings are shorter. What happened? But we should move along. Omegas Prime, tell me about a new picture.
Now I have images. To pick something, because that was going to be mine.
Preferably a dot JPEG.
A dot JPEG? Does it have to be?
Yes!
Can't be a PNG.
I was going to GIF it up in here, but...
GIF it up.
But keep your gifts outside. We don't serve their kind here.
Jeez. Yeah, next, you'll be going back to bitmaps.
Ew.
Yeah.
MP.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
How about the Sound Force X that we have nothing but a sketch of?
Yeah, so that came about because that's on the back of the King Bat and Ninja box, and it's had a lot of chatter about it.
Mm-hmm. We are getting a reflector since Hasbro does not have the guts to do one anymore. Apparently,
well, they are, but it's different than
Is it not camera. Has the guts or don't own that mold? I can't remember. Was that a Microman mold or was that a licensed mold?
It's Microman.
Yeah, okay. I just don't think they have. I don't think they have it in them to actually produce something like that anymore. You know, three robots, one vehicle mode.
Well, yeah. Like, what's your price point going to be? And if it's Voyager, that would be if it was a Voyager price point, then the robots would suffer even more than the Jet Twins did in engineering terms.
Oh yeah. Well, that and you're out an entire toy if you end up breaking or losing just one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
See, I could see it being done because they're not scared to do a camera. It existed in the real gear line. It's and the name Reflector, I'd have to double check, but it's not currently under the registration. They don't own it right now.
Well, they more or less said at BotCon they'd like to do the new Perceptor with a new head as Reflector. So
but again, it's just currently I think that. Number one, I don't think they have the rights to the name. They probably just didn't register it yet. I know because I periodically keep track of this. But I could see them doing, like, look how we have that battle for space box out there with the three deluxes, you know? And I don't even know what store that's meant for or, you know, whatever it's supposed to be targeted as of some kind of exclusive. But, I mean, I could see it as something like that. Maybe not so much deluxes, but, you know, three scouts that combine to make a camera. It would have to be a real, it'd have to be a store exclusive because I can't see that as a mass market thing that would do well. And then it would probably be on clearance at True or something. But
Real Gear 2.0.
Yeah, Real Gear The Return.
No.
Real Gear Unleashed. I don't know.
I'd like to throw out something about this Sound Force X that I didn't get this clear and I forgot to follow up and see if anyone answered my question about it. But whoever posted it first from a Chinese board mentioned that, and I'm not sure if this was speculation or actually stated, but it was bandied about that these guys would be the same size as the other tiny Perfect Effect robots, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were, because they know how to work that scale pretty hardcore, and it would make for a decent looking tiny camera. But that also is something for people to keep in mind, that if it is tiny, they will be a lot shorter than if they do a Perceptor reflector. But on the bright side, if you get a Perceptor reflector and have three little guys, and you've got four reflectors, like a big one and then his henchmen, so I don't know.
Oh.
If it would be the same size of those as Ninja and the crew, then not to mention it'd be smaller than even the original toy that it's trying to be.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really small.
Yeesh.
I mean, we're not talking world's smallest small, but pretty small.
Yeah, you're talking like good accessory for MP Megatron small.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you'd be able to probably find a toy who could hold the camera small.
Yeah, just in case you ever wanted to have your large scale action figures on vacation, sightseeing.
You could have Skywarp actually taking a picture.
There's a whole scene for that stuff. Figma sells like little scooters, little arcade machines. Like you can get
I was browsing HLJ the other day and there's like a Victorian balcony set with staircases, just a corner, just for posing a figure in front of.
Yes, I mean, like, you can get a little transforming camera that's sized at least for 1-6 scale. Someone's going to like it. I mean, it would still be a pretty huge camera. Like it's not going to be perfectly sized for 1-6 scale, but
it'll be like a modern digital camera. It will be the old school Canon 35mm. You got to roll it all up in the dark or else you ruin all your pictures, camera.
Yeah. What do you guys think this is going to cost? My theory is that this is going to be $75 to $100, but I'm curious. Do you guys think it's going to be around that?
That sounds about right, because the King Bat versus Ninjas...
$50. Some might say.
So, I'd say... definitely north of that. I'd say $75. Because you're getting three dudes plus accessories. $75.
Yeah.
Final answer.
It's parts against engineering, and it's probably going to be something around that.
Yeah, it'll probably be 75 or 80 along with all these accessories. Because for a scouting group, they're coming with an entire armory.
They're just really quiet.
Well, I wonder how many of those pieces are also for camera assembly.
At least one of them.
Because it looks like one big shield thing is like maybe the bottom of the camera, like the base plate of it. And then
I can see that for like covering up heads and things, and but then you've got the flash cube on top, which by the size looks like it's got to be, you know, at least take three or four of these accessories create that.
Yeah. It's definitely those two boxes on the very left.
Yeah, the two like missile spam pods and probably one of or two of those other.
Dude, there's a tiny knife. They each come with a tiny combat knife.
They each got a little tiny combat
That's
knife.
That's so cool. Sorry.
And it looks like one of them's going to have like two blaster pistol things. One has like a scoped rifle and the other one has what is potentially a minigun, like a three-barreled Vulcan.
I'm kind of super interested in
the
this
weapon
thing.
Of choice by all scouts.
Yeah, mini guns and combat knives and missile pods. Let's scout ahead. All right, bring the missile pods. All right, don't use them though. Yeah, no problem.
It's the first time that we'll actually see Reflector do something aggressive.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not just stand there and blow up.
Yeah, this is the scouting party. I want to see like the front lines. It's just like just walking missile pods.
I am all into that.
Just missile spam pod with legs.
Right.
Well, hopefully we'll get to see some pictures of the actual prototypes sometime soon. Aaron, what's your new picture pick?
Reveal the shield strafe.
Why?
High quality images. Why? Because Strafe is part of Computron, and that was my original combiner dude, and he has a massive Autobot symbol, basically, as his wings.
That's pretty selfish, he does.
Or parts thereof. This is one I'm looking forward to.
I actually am, too, because I really like that toy, and
it's an odd way to redeco Mindwipe.
Yeah,
and yet it works.
There's also a really brightly colored Skystalker called Sunspot out there, who a lot of people who are in the land of stolen China have been combining with Strafe, and it's really funny because Sunspot's still a Decepticon, but apparently he's a very simple-minded and easily distracted Decepticon. So there's all kinds of fictional possibilities for why he would connect onto an Autobot called Strafe.
More on that at What We Got This Week.
Exactly.
But I really dig the fact that it's like, hey, yeah, I'm really an Autobot. No. Look, I'm really an Autobot.
Ignore
it's
my like, terrifying cycloptic face. No, I'm really an Autobot.
What was the Decepticon payload movie one line?
Yeah.
Camera head?
It was the... Yeah, but he was the pickup truck that had the Decepticon logo that was kind of hidden.
No, that's Dropkick.
Yeah, Dropkick.
Dropkick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Payload was the the
Payload
truck.
Was the armored car.
The claw on his belly.
But or it's something kind of the same, where maybe if you weren't terribly familiar with the logos and, you know, those lines get etched into your brains the way that it does for some of us, that could be something like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat little wing stuff. Wait a second. What? Oh. But still, it's cool. It's nice that we're getting a Strafe like this. Not having to go the crazy gente or whatever Japanese.
What's funny is there are now two toys that have been redecoed into Strafe, and they are two incredibly evil looking toys.
Yeah, and both of them pull it off very well. So,
in before war over Gente, Strafe pulling it off well in the thread.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because like Strafe, aside from his original G1 toy, he's been nothing but repaints.
But yeah.
Even in G2, there was a Strafe, and it was just one of the Cyberjet repaints.
Yeah, I get annoyed with that sometimes. Like, I feel bad for G1 Swerve, because at this point, it's just like the catch-all for any red and black car they want to do.
And whatever happened to Lightspeed?
I like Lightspeed, actually.
I do, too.
That was my favorite one as a kid.
He was the car.
I lost him.
Masterpiece Lightspeed, where is it?
Yeah, what the heck? Come on, Hasbro.
I mean, come on. Don't be lazy. make us our masterpiece, Lightspeed. So this Strafe, yeah, he's pretty cool, and he's going to be out along with the much-awaited Lugnut. So I foresee, at least for the opening couple weeks, it being very easy to find Strafe, because everyone will be buying Lugnut, and there will be Strafe left behind.
I'll be buying both. Happily.
I bet you I'm going to probably buy both, too. Man, a new picture to pick out. I want to pick this one out to clarify something, actually. There's we got a picture of Voyager Lugnuts, the new ones, instruction book. And again, guess what? The instruction book had the retool head. So a lot of people were trying to figure out what the head might mean. And they actually stated, I distinctly recall this one at BotCon, because we got to see, again, either the resin or the CAD version of that head. And it's just a really creepy-looking cowled head with a mono eye underneath the cowl. And they stated that was that one and several other heads. That one in particular was a head where they had no idea what they could possibly do as an alternate head for that Lugnut toy. So they just started to draw up stuff that they thought looked cool and followed the lines. And that's the one that they thought looked coolest. So it's not actually, unless they forgot about it, it's not actually meant to look like anything other than a cool new head. Kind of like how the Terra Dive alternate head that's Balder, I believe, was also just like, if it looks like anything, it's probably just a coincidence. They just thought it looked cool as an alternate aesthetic. So I've seen a really cool Photoshop of that Lugnut toy with that head as Omega Supreme, because his alt mode would be kind of hilarious because it'd just be bright yellow. But I'm curious what they're gonna color it as and name it. But it's not overtly meant to be anything, as far as I know. So putting it out there. What's this on the front page? New review of Night Morpher Annihilator. That's pretty damn cool.
Don't be shameless.
I almost said it as a joke, but went, no. He's got enough ego as it is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Neither do I.
Back to the pick. Chances are, like, they're just going to dip into what they have for registered names and throw something at it. The guy who does the recoloring for a lot of like every time someone has to do repaints, I forget his name, Joe Kide, I think it
Joe
is.
Joe Kide, yep.
He has a hard-on for MicroMasters. So maybe they'll just throw a MicroMaster name at it. There's like a million different MicroMaster planes.
And a lot of the MicroMaster heads were pretty easy to replace with something else and not mess
so
with the memory
it'll
of it.
Be like, oh, it's a MicroMaster chain gun from the 1992 Operation Combination line. And we're all
gonna
be
you guys
like,
don't remember that one?
Yeah, well, you know what's funny? Always when he does that, everyone's like, yeah, I remember that one. No,
I've had that
didn't.
Many times. Because I have a lot, like, MicroMasters were one of the largest number of Transformers I had as a child.
Oh, same here.
So whenever I see MicroMasters, I kind of double take, and I'm like, wait a second. I think I have that, because I don't really remember any I don't remember any MicroMaster in particular without it being shown to me in pictures. But then, like, when I see one, I'm kind of like, I think I have that one. And then,
if it wasn't for Joe Kide, we wouldn't have had that Erector homage in the 2007 movie. Was it mud flap?
Yeah, it was
the original mud flap.
The French right. mud flap. I have some great video up. I'm sure I probably talked about this already, but if you go and watch some of my BotCon 2010 vlogs, I have copious footage of just Joe Kide trying to set up Transformers in the display case while surrounded by a crowd. And,
I think he had Blur and everyone.
Yeah,
was just
yeah, he was trying to set up Blur to do some certain poses, and then he just gave up because it's really hard as far as I understand.
The pressure. Imagine.
Yeah, you're standing there with a new toy. Everyone wants to see it, and you're trying to transform one, and you're trying to pose it in a way that looks vaguely cool and won't fall over when a little kid runs face first into the cabinet, as they are wont to do.
I could just picture him. He's probably like, just take it easy. Joe Kide.
But then people keep sneaking up behind him, too.
Yeah.
People keep sneaking up on him, and because, you know, people have walked off with drifts from the children's play area, when people sneak up on Joe Kide, he keeps having to stop and glance at them and make sure they're not making a grab for the Ziploc bags of unreleased toys that are, you know,
yeah,
in front of him.
Yeah, because those were, like, at his feet, weren't they, as he was sitting there?
Well, they were at his feet in a drawer, but he had his legs over the drawer, so you couldn't just walk by and go, like, oh, look at that! And then, like, just pull one out.
I got his gun! But,
Yeah, like he had a bag of Breachers, and this is, you know, before Breacher came out, is when we first saw Breacher. And of course, you know, everyone who's kind of hanging around, I'm sure someone in the crowd must have been going like, I wonder if
I can get one of those.
Palm one of those Breachers. But it was kind of cool that he I think it's because of him that we saw how the little guns plug into Blur's rifle, because he set that up and was really, really wanting to set that up, and he's having a lot of trouble getting it all to hold together. And like we said, he was under quite a bit of pressure too, which is probably why.
87 geeks with cameras ready. I know I was number 14.
And someone was breathing heavily down his back.
As someone was, and I had a video camera pointed at his face. I was trying not to point it at his face, but I pointed at his hands the whole time because I wanted to see, you know, how those toys folded and flipped. And I don't know. He's a trooper. Jokai's a trooper. He's the guy who goes out there and puts his body on the line to put the toys in the cabinet after the Hasbro panel.
In a full dealer room.
Yeah, in the middle of a full dealer room, too.
Not those pansies that do it before the dealer room and get Tony to run in there and take photos.
Now, Jokai just, he stomps out there. He's like, hey, what's up, guys? Just pulls open the bottom shelf.
What do I got here, Masterpiece Rodimus? I'm just going to walk around with this.
Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah.
Haters gonna hate.
And what's funny is that when you watch him, anyone who's not seen it before then realizes that this entire time in the base of those cabinets was all the new toys. That's where they were all chilling out.
Imagine.
So people were like, I should have broken in there, and then they realize if they did, you know, what's his name? Greg Lombardo, Papa Greg, would just drop kick them out of the room.
Raleigh.
I don't know if this is a segue, but yeah. I don't know if Brawly's the aggressive type, but we recently found out
being called Brawly. Come on, how can you not?
Brawly the Brawler.
You become aggressive. He could be very pacifistic, but you keep calling somebody Brawly, and they're going to pop.
I was thinking the Dragon Ball
Call
character.
Me Brawly. My name is William. We found out, and I'm not sure, you know, if this is just a case of in my case it was a case of just not really caring enough to look, but. We revisited the Unleashed guy several weeks ago, and it was revealed to us that he is actually Bill Raleigh. And it's not as cool when you have a face and a name to the identity.
And considering all the good stuff he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then again, Bill Raleigh didn't try to kill me at BotCon, so clearly he doesn't listen to the podcast. But that's a bit of info that we found out. So add that to the wiki.
It's already there.
Oh, yeah, that's where I read it off. Yeah. Add to the wiki Cyclic. That he is also known as, put it in the notes, also known as, quote-unquote, the Unleashed guy on popular podcast WTF at TFW, hosted by Vangelis, and then cross-link that to the Chris Ho article that is on TF Wiki, and then you will have become part of the wikiality. So do your part, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to intermiss yet. Let's talk about what we got this week.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Because also, I couldn't think of a middle news story to put in because every news story has just been like, hey, look, there's new toys! And we decided way back when, if you're a new listener, we decided way back when the podcast started, after a few weeks of it, that constantly covering new pictures of toys, be it stolen Chinese, stolen Indonesian, or just quote-unquote pre-release to play it safe, is kind of pointless because then we end up talking about the toy just as long and saying the exact same things when we actually get it in hand. So... unless we really, like, we brought up PR reviews before when it's had something cool, but unless
or
it's...
been super early.
Yeah. I mean, like, I could easily mention that Power Core Combiner Tanks combined mode head is glorious, because it's huge, but yeah. I'm going to talk about that when I get it, so, ba-boom. So let's talk about what we got this week. I want to hear from Proto Man, because apparently I picked a good week to ask him about this.
Well, I guess I'll start with the big thing. I did a huge group buy in my area for the new Faith Leader. Now, usually I'm not a big fan of a lot of iGear stuff in general. You know, they're almost quasi-bootlegs, a lot of their materials. But they did the Faith Leader PP01 edition. And what that one is it's Faith Leader... done up with all kinds of stuff that makes it a homage to that one picture from Generation 2. Yeah. We have Optimus and Megatron wearing the cape.
Yeah.
And it, me, who's like, I'm obsessed with the mangas and the tech stories from Japan, and that one image has a whole, like, two-page tech story based around it, which Optimus and Megatron created this one faction that's not, neither Autobot nor Decepticon. They were leaders that ruled together, and it ushered in a new generation. And it wasn't until a human accidentally killed a Decepticon did that actually start the war all over again. Because then this Megatron's like, "Oh, you humans are all the same. You know, why did we even think that there could be peace?" And but it's just so they did that, and they included in this box that they included, you know, the typical faith leader, but done in a darker color. It came with the cape, and it came with two guns, but it also came with alternate heads, and it came with a Megatron head. And a Orion Pax looking kind of head,
mm-hmm.
or similar to the cartoon design than Thin's Optronics. But it's cool because it came with the Megatron head, which even more like solidifies that it's that G2 homage kind of thing going on. And you know the actual figure itself, yeah, it's a downsized Masterpiece Optimus Prime done in not bad quality. I won't say it's in you know incredible, but it's pretty good. It comes in a really, really nice box, though. Like
they do some pretty cool looking packaging. Yeah, I gotta hand it to them for that.
This is like, dare I say, even like almost even to the Masterpiece packaging
mm-hmm.
from Takara. Like it's and like they put all kinds of quotes all over the box. Like yeah, freedom is the right of all sentient beings, and then on the bottom it's we are here, we are waiting.
Yeah.
and then on you know, like and on it's all done in like, you know, like that kind of like chromy hologram, you know, font finish, and there's really nice art on all the sides of the box. It's a really nice looking packaging. Mm-hmm. And then similar to Fans Project, the instructions is this quasi kind of comic book, you know, meets Masterpiece instructions thing going on,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, again, very nice presentation, to say the least. Like but again, the only reason why I bought it was because of its very obscure reference to a two-page Japanese piece of fiction. Otherwise, I probably would have not bought it.
I recall some of the BC dudes, Richter.
Richter was the one who originally started the whole group by.
Yeah,
and Richter wanted to know if anyone on the eastern side, which is all us Quebecer Canadians, he was like, "Do you want to get in on this?" And that we ended up getting these all for about $50 a piece.
Yeah, that's not bad.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
and I guess the only other thing I should probably I forgot to mention too is on top of the box that it actually comes in the figure. The cardboard box that it ships in itself is unique too. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds crazy. The cardboard box is a regular cardboard box, but it has a schematic of G1 Optimus Prime's face on the front of the box. And then on the back of the cardboard box, again, this is just a plain shipping box. On the back of it is a schematic of the entire transformation of the trailer and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, whoa, this is, they really went out of their way this time. So right now I'm sitting on 5 of these because I haven't met with everyone yet. I have the Montreal Comic-Con.
You
got to
make a combiner out of them. Just don't tell anybody.
I took a few photos, but yeah. So that's probably the most interesting thing I got this week.
Well, I wanted to ask you when Richter was setting up the BC group by, he was kind of grilling iGear to get the specifics of what they would be sending because he didn't want to have any vagaries about it because Richter is a very cool guy and he doesn't want to trick people.
He is a nice guy.
Yeah, he doesn't want to inadvertently like trick people into thinking, "Oh, I'm going to get this and getting something else." So he got a very, very distinct list of what the group by Faith Leader would be. And they mentioned it had structural improvements over the first one, the biggest of which being that they added magnets in the waist, apparently. I don't know if you messed with yours, but have you noticed anything solid
about
that?
I did not notice any magnets, to be honest. I only transformed it once just to like do up the whole cape thing.
Yeah.
Now it's all like back in packaging because tomorrow I have to get ready for a convention. I'm going to bring it with and show it off as well as give it to the other people that are waiting for it.
Because it's in the, you know how Masterpiece Prime, when you fold the chest down, mm-hmm. Apparently the magnets are to help keep the chest down. They're
what
like
I'm
in
reaching
the
for it right now. I'm going to try to open them up. Apparently, I'll interject later if I... if I get to it.
Apparently, aside from the magnets, the other change was just like a few of the joints. They strengthened slightly, and more or less continuing with their goal of improving the few little flaws in the original Masterpiece design. And when I saw that, I was like, all right, see, this is... At least improving parts of it like that does make me less critical, even though...
Okay, so what am I looking for here? Sorry to cut you off.
Okay, and you know how you can kind of... If you untransform them slightly, you can, like, fold the torso up and back slightly?
Okay.
Apparently there are magnets holding it down when you fold it back down.
Let's take a look.
I'm not sure if you can see them. They might be under the plastic, but...
I don't see anything.
That was one of the images they showed. And I'm not sure if it panned out that that was actually in it, but I remembered that being something that really struck me, that they were going to work magnets.
Yeah, there's
in.
Magnets, you're right.
Oh, there are? Nice!
You can actually see them, too.
Okay.
Interesting.
See, I really like that, like, progressively, hey, okay, maybe this wasn't the best thing, so we'll punch this up, or, like, I'm going to go back to it in Unite More for Commander review. It's like, hey, they fixed this, they fixed that, they adjusted this.
Well, another thing iGear did is the first Faith Leader had those posable hands and the anime-accurate head, and the problem was that those things all kind of sucked. You couldn't transform them with any of that stuff on. You had to pull them off and plug them back on, so that's why on that new one, they kind of went, okay, this didn't work, so we'll just give you more heads, and you can now have Megatron on Optimus's body.
Oh yeah, I forgot to also mention. Also comes with a really cool, like, and it's, we're talking a really strong hologram card too. They also threw in. I don't know. Like, again, it's a nice little package that they threw together. You know, like it's. I almost feel like in terms of presentation, they're better than Fans Project. I'm not saying the actual figure, but I'm saying like all the other bells and whistles wrapped around it.
They knew how to make you feel like you were getting something that cost
the
money it cost.
Even if the figure sucked, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, it came with all of this extra, you know, stuff, so not too bad.
Yeah.
A kid basher's dream, I guess.
Although I'm sure it would be way better to get one of those for $50 than like $90.
Oh yeah. Well, see, that's also kind of why I got in on it to begin with, because iGear, I don't want to knock them, but a lot of their stuff really doesn't impress me. So I usually avoid it, but when this came around, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to go for it. You know, it has that nice kitschness to it, and the price is right.
Faith Leader, you know, for $50, I would be tempted by.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because I'd be like...
You
I'd be
have
like,
to realize, it's a pretty big figure.
Yeah, and I'd be like, all right, you know, now that it's gone under that $90 mark, now I feel... it's like, that's like with the hybrid style G1 Prime. The reason why I have that is because I got it for $50 and not for, you know, whatever it cost back when it came out.
Oh, it was almost $100.
Yeah, so like... A lot of things that are kind of cool become way cooler when they cost $50 and not like $80 or $90. So that would help out quite a bit as well.
Yeah. Aside from that, also what came out was the, I believe it's Wave 3 of the Power Core Combiner 2-packs. Mm-hmm. It's the one with Steel Shot and...
Steel Shot.
Yeah. So I got those guys. They're the repaints.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know, hey, one of them's you know, is the Combaticon bomb shock repaint done in, like, I guess I'll say Outback colors. I don't know. Desert colors.
Desert.
And then you have the storm jet kind of thing going on. I don't even know what they're trying to homage here. I guess it's trying to be an aerial bot, maybe.
Someone found a couple of Cyberjet color schemes that matched up with that one.
Yeah, I can see that too. Yeah.
It's more so his backpack is very cyber jetty, so I think that's where the idea came from.
It's possible.
It's got that zigzag.
Like, you know, not bad. They're not bad. Like, I pick them up because I'm a completist, but Darkstream, he's kind of cool too. But I think the big problem is that these were some of the weaker, I guess when you compare them, especially the last wave that just came out with Leadfoot and.
Yeah, well, these are just the five-pack commander repaints.
That's just it. They're the core centerpieces, which I find that sometimes... That's kind of the funny thing is, like, you get the five packs and they have, like, oh, hey, it's the five pack, but the cores are kind of, eh, you know, like... although Bomb Shock wasn't too bad, but now these ones, you know, it's like, hey, if you didn't get the five pack, these are kind of better color schemes, you know?
And you get the minicons again in different colors.
Oh yeah, that's true too, which isn't too bad. I think probably the best one out of them is still the Bombshock repaint, which is Steel Shot. He's kind of cool. Windburn is eh, and you know, Darkstream is eh. I don't know. But, what else did I get? And I think that's it. That's really of importance. Like the non-Transformer related stuff. Some figures from Japan. They had that that series. What are they called? Their Super Modeling Soul Edition, which was the. Those were the, they're not the model kit ones. They were the standee figures that were like, you know, candy toy-esque, if you will. Mm-hmm. They had a whole bunch of them, like right. Airman, and I'm pretty sure Omegas knows what I'm talking about. You know,
yeah,
like
yeah, big set of little minifigures they made.
Yeah, and the only thing I could say about these is they're actually a lot bigger than I thought they were. Like, I was expecting something decoy-sized, maybe, because that's usually the standard size for these kind of things. But they're about 3 inches, which is pretty impressive. Sure. All things, yeah, exactly. I was like, huh, this is pretty big. And it comes with, each one comes with a stand that's also about 3 inches in circular diameter. So I was like, oh wow, this is pretty big bang for your buck. Obviously I got like a few of the Man Proto Man. I think the last thing I can mention is just for, I guess, for Canadian listeners, Canadian Tire's 2 exclusives finally came out and I picked those up.
Oh yeah.
Which was the Minicon 10-pack, which I guess it's a Kmart exclusive in the States. If someone could correct me on this.
Is that the one that has the hubcap?
Snowcat.
Is it the Snowcat, the overcharge? Or
overcharge, the taxi.
The taxi, yeah.
So that was a Kmart one? Okay. So I picked that up. Yeah, I almost bought it just for overcharge.
How much was it?
Yeah.
Well, here's the good thing. I bought it when it was full price, $39.99. Now they're on clearance at $19, the 10-pack.
I got a swing by Canadian Tire because I didn't know that they had that.
Yeah, well, you're lucky now because I was stupid. I saw them like, oh my God, got to get it, you know. Canadian Tire never like gets Transformer toys or anything, you know. So I picked it up at its full price. Now it's on clearance. And also the other thing that I got, which is also on clearance at Canadian Tire, is the 4-pack, which is comes with Bone Crusher, Ratchet, and the other two, Ironhide, and I think it's Skids. I'm not sure.
Oh, the Legends?
Yeah, the Legends 4-pack. I think it's like Desert Attack, you know, some wacky name they called it. And that one, too. And that one, I believe, is reduced now to $10.99. It was originally $19.
That's not $2.50 for a Legend isn't bad.
Oh, exactly. That's just it. So I picked those up, and I guess the only odd, well, again, it's McDonald's, so I went and I picked up all the...
I saw your tweets.
I was on a mad hunt for those. You have no idea. Like, everywhere I went, they just had the Hello Kitty watches, and that was infuriating, let me tell you. It's like, no, I don't want Caterpie. I want Bumblebee.
I know the time.
It's like, this is for your son, right? Yes, he's 27. You're looking
Looks
at him.
Looks just like me.
It's been a long day. And then I learned that the best way to actually get what you want is you don't go ask for them. You get your female counterpart to go ask, and then you get anything you want. I asked her to go ask because we hit literally like 3 different McDonald's because I went to one. They only had Starscream. But me, I'm like, oh, they have Starscream. That means they have Bumblebee too. They're in the same case. They're in the same wave. But that means they're on wave 2 because wave 1 was Megatron and Optimus. Oh, and I'm going nuts, you know, hitting all these different McDonald's trying to get the Optimus and Megatron because apparently I missed wave 1. I ended up getting wave 1 and 2 in the end, but not me asking. You get a girl up there to go ask the nerdy guy behind the counter. And oh, sure
kind
thing.
Of lean forward.
I'll find it in the back for you, ma'am.
Yeah. I had to cut a 3-year-old for this, but it's yours.
Here's the yellow one. His name's Bumblebee, you dirty filth.
That's some pretty disgusting and sick, but incredibly clever logic.
Well, it's true.
Because I can see exactly how that works.
I will admit, I have used the wife once or twice to help me out at targets of looking for something.
Oh,
in the-
especially me. I look like a jock douchebag. So I'm just like, hey, buddy, you got any of those Transformer toys? Because I'm so into that. And they're probably like, no, sorry, we only have the girl toys. You know, a girl goes and right away the red carpet goes out, you know. So
you got any of those Transformers? Up. Because I've been having a long, hard day and I think I might want to buy one or two. Leaning forward.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of doing that arm squeeze. Yeah.
Psychology lessons, ladies and gentlemen. We're teaching them to you now.
Yeah, don't get a girlfriend for love or companionship or for intercourse.
See, you can get Transformers just get a, easier.
You ever had that problem where you ask the guy to go find something in stock for you? Get your girlfriend to ask. He'll bring you, like, waves in advance. Yeah. Pion doesn't buy stolen Chinese toys. He gets his wife to go ask at the stock.
Living proof. All right. Did you get anything else this week? Or
last thing, not really that important. I was trying to pick up an extra Hot Topic t-shirt of the Hot Rod design, if you will, like the flame. I picked that up on eBay. That's about it.
You didn't send your girlfriend into Hot Topic going all like, I'm looking for that t-shirt. Yeah, Hot Rod.
Hot Rod. I dressed as Baroness.
He's kind of carrying around a Polaroid of the Baroness. Like, listen, this is me. Anyway, I'm looking for a Hot Rod t-shirt.
It's like, they haven't printed that shirt in 4 years. And you flip out a picture of the Baroness. Like, I'll go get you one.
I'm going under the counter. I was saving it for my mother.
But that's about it.
All right.
Let someone else enjoy.
Aaron, what did you get this week?
Steel Shot. I got, I saw those... that repaint wave, and he was the one that stuck out to me. I like the bone shock mold. The biggest thing, though, product may vary. On the packaging, it shows the Minicon is in a similar camo. Mine is red.
Yeah. Hold on.
Excuse me 1 second.
So, like, motherfucker. So he's is it just red plastic? Or is it like
it's red plastic, and he's got like a black paint on his Gatling gun arm, face, and his thighs are.
Right, Aaron, you're right. It is yellow. I mean, it is pink-ish.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I didn't even notice that. Yeah, it's true. He had like a clear brown thing going on.
Yeah, it's like the and smoky,
I did not even notice that.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, cool, because. I don't know how I saw. I think I was just still thinking of the other two. Oh no, I saw it on the cross cell on the bottom of one of them as I was pulling everything out. I'm like, that is very pink.
It's very pink.
Beacon. But
not to mention, if you look at the face too on it, that's not a female character by any extent.
No, weird epic chin. I really like his commander head because it has the same kind of desert camo over top of it. And with the blue eyes, it really, really seems to pop. So
that's cool.
He may be getting replaced. And Bombshock's team is now Autobots if I ever really do anything much more with the Power Cores. But also saw the Wave 3 Scouts, Fire Trap and Sunspot. So yeah, as you were talking about Sunspot still being a Decepticon, I was sitting here and actually holding him up to the microphone.
I've got
as if
one.
It worked as a camera.
I've got one too.
very odd to have bright white and yellow as a Decepticon's color scheme.
Yeah,
I'll be honest.
I was actually expecting the mold that Strafe was. I was expecting him to be called Sunstorm, so they could merge together.
Yeah, I think that was the obvious for everyone.
Yeah.
You want to know a funny story, Aaron? I just want to tell you a funny story. I don't know if I shared this. I'm going to tell you anyway. But when I found Sunspot, I was at a Walmart where all the Scouts were on rollbacks. I got them for like $6. But here's the thing. The Scout selection at that Walmart was like one Sunspot, one Insecticon, like a whole bunch of the earlier waves, and then like four or five Breachers and no Fire Traps. So what this insinuates is that the people of my town madly went to buy Fire Trap and Insecticon and then left behind Sunspot and Breacher. To the point where I thought Sunspot shipped with Breacher and Insecticon when I saw it. It's like, oh, I thought there was another one, but oh well. It turns out the Fire Trap sold out.
Well, Fire Trap is very, and I said it, I don't know if I said it in a tweet or something, but he's more brawny than the Deluxe Brawn. In my opinion,
mm-hmm.
He's got the stuff around his head that's similar to the way because the mini brawn was just like a face printed on the underside of the car, pretty much. Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah, but he also has since he doesn't have, I mean, I really like the deluxe Braun toy, and he's, but he doesn't have bulk over the shoulders, which is kind of a more Braun look, but it's the same. I mean, both of these are the same molds. I don't think they even did any remolds on these two for the heads. So
No.
It's not like I can sit here and expound on anything.
Sunspot actually really loses something by having a dark-colored eye instead of a bright red one, because now it looks like it's off.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you said, reading his bio, he's supposed to be a pretty dim bulb in the first place. So
yeah.
The lights are on, but nobody's home. Yeah,
I think his intelligence is a 2.
Yeah.
And I do like the way that one of the bio cards kind of leads into the other, where he talks about just flying around and enjoying flying and forgetting target memory problems, mission objectives, target data, and the names of his allies slip from his mind like sand through a sieve. He remembers how to fly most of the time, which is lucky, blah, 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 blah. And then Fire Trap is like, Fire Trap really loves ammo, dude. And he got some anti-aircraft ammo and sees Fire Trap. Huh? Or and sees Sunspot. Huh? So, again, I like whoever's doing the bios. Kudos for keeping things linking, because
I also wanna,
you're going to make quite a few sales out of that.
I want to say, you know, for all the fun I make of the color scheme, it actually still kind of works, just because Skystalker is such a good toy that he looks really cool even when he's in these really doofy colors. And if you did end up in one of those towns that never got Skystalker and you see Sunspot, by all means, you should pick him up.
Oh, yeah. It's transform more of the darker colors because of his legs and arms show up. So in robot mode, it's not quite as
he's glaring. He's got like a kind of dark brownie red even in robot mode for his insides.
Is that just paint or is that in the plastic? I
think it's paint. It's paint.
But that's his hip groinal areas and his like his torso.
Yeah.
I like the mold, so I'm not upset at a second purchase, and we'll see how well he works with my new pick of Strafe.
Yeah, and in my case, I'm just happy that he got repainted, because I am in that position where I'm basically just, if I see a repaint or a new mold of one of those scouts from that started in Revenge of the Fallen, that line of scouts, I just buy them. I don't know why anymore. But
They're good toys.
Yeah, they're good toys, and so like I don't and usually I can find them for pretty cool prices and rollback and stuff like that. So I was like, why not? Let's collect them all. And when you have stuff like Fire Trap or Sunspot, where they're a pretty effective color scheme as well, it helps. Like a lot of people really, I found out because I was making fun of them so much. There's a lot of people who really like Crankstart. So I'm glad there are people who like him. But toys like Crankstart, who I personally don't care for all that much, that's when I start going like, man, like I'm turning into one of those guys who just buys it because it is that sub factor of the big thing that I decided to collect.
Yeah, I did also see Oil Pan. Is that the
out
of there?
The reason why I have Oil Pan was because of a Chinese auction seller who I was trying to maximize my shipping value, and he had an Oil Pan for $1. So I was like, well, it's only $1, right?
Yeah, I passed on him because he's rather orange.
He is, you know that breakdown toy he's based on?
Yeah.
All right, imagine that toy, but really orange.
Yeah.
All right, that's Oil Pan.
So just left out in the sun for about 8 years.
Really orange.
I bought him because he was called Oil Pan.
Yeah.
I bought him because he's 99 cents.
I'm serious. I actually bought him because of that. I was like, that's an awesome name.
To his credit, he's not just orange. Sometimes he's also purple.
Because if Transformers use everything as a relation to humans, the Oil Pan would be pretty much like your urine bladder.
The latrine. Yeah.
Your bedpan.
Easily, which is... There's a Transformer that's pretty much named urine bladder.
This is the Decepticon Peapod.
Yeah, exactly. And he's orange, so, you know, he didn't get a lot... He didn't get a lot of water in his diet. I don't know.
But,
I wonder if he plays a lot of water sports. Anyway. What's up, Aaron?
I was trying and
too far.
He still ran.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. That term is in the dictionary and it is not considered a cuss word by the British. So I don't know what you're talking about. Let's continue talking about toys.
My other
don't get
purchase,
spastic over it.
Or rather, get was something that I guess I'd purchased a while ago from Robot Kingdom. I think it was Robot Kingdom.
Yep.
Predaking. Big guy, he's over there.
What's Predaking?
Still not stickered. But big reissue, the second reissue of this guy, all die-casty, gold-painty, looks wonderful, weighs a ton, and as I was sitting there fidgeting with him, my wife goes, "Oh yeah, my brother had that toy. We broke like three of them."
Can I see it?
Oh, that's what she goes. Can I look at it? I'm like, not now. Like, oh, come on. I was like six at the
time. From across the room.
Like, that's okay. You can stay over there.
Did you see the new sticker sheet in there? I'm pretty sure it's new. Gog pointed it out.
The eyes?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Who's going to do that?
I don't know. I was maybe thinking about it.
Especially since fictionally they're supposed to have yellow eyes because they were a co-creation with the Quintessons and Galvatron. So yellow eyes always indicate a character that has some kind of Unicronian or non-factional backgrounds. That's a fun fact.
Fun fact number 20. Also, my first thought when I saw that sticker sheet was, oh, you can just buy a second one. Then I remembered the price. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Not repro labels.
Yeah.
What I don't get about the eye sheet is you get them for like Headstrong and Tantrum who have red heads. So basically, you make the eyes go away.
Well, they're very shiny. I mean, they're yellow printed on the gold paper. But
yeah.
As I said in my tweet, I've had a series of 12-hour days, and just being exhausted from doing all that, I didn't want to have to break out the scalpel blade or the nail clipper fingernail cleaner thing to put stickers on very well, especially like with the lion mane, because that's the focus of the combined mode. I don't want to have one of those on there a little bit off, just look at it constantly and be like, oh, I hated that day, 12 hours, and then come home and go, oh, I'll do stickers.
Just like that, in that voice.
Yeah.
With your thumbs.
I put that Decepticon logo upside down. What was I on?
Yeah. I'd never had really experience with a Predaking before. I'd seen them. And then asked, hey, at a convention, hey, how much does that cost? And then they would say a number, and I would say, I don't want to breathe on it. So it's nice to actually have one of my own for a lot less than any numbers I've ever heard floated. So good purchase if you can still get them now, because the last reissues are still over 500.
How on earth did that happen? That always baffled my mind, because
I think it was just like an odd placement, because they'd had a couple. Wasn't this going back to our Apex Armor or God Bomber? Wasn't this?
Yeah.
Didn't they do him like right after they did that Ginray reissue? And so they had done
You're
lower
talking
numbers.
About Predaking.
Predaking.
Predaking was the last of, like, because you had those like Encore reissues in that style of box. He was the last of those.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess he got a lot less of a run.
Yeah.
Because it was very quick. It was him and, God, what were the other ones? Omega Supreme and Skylynx.
No, those guys were a lot later.
Those were 07.
Yeah, those came afterwards, but I remember it was around like that time.
No, because those two, Omega Supreme and Skylynx, are toy box toys.
Yes.
From a different company. That. So those came out after Takara Tomy.
That Predaking
The first Predaking was Takara.
That was,
yeah,
wasn't
it came
that 04,
before all of that.
04,
yeah.
05-ish?
Wasn't that was, it? Yeah, because I remembered it was right around the time that I had gotten my $35 complete Ginrai, and so was thinking about something like that, but it was still kind of pricey. I think the price then was maybe about what the price now was, but it was just a different time and in finances and collecting, and it was like, man, I'd spent a whole lot of money on stuff, and so I'll look at it later. And then when it was shortly thereafter later, it was all gone, and then that number just kept going higher and higher and higher. And so that's why, I mean, when I saw this was anew, I set up an order. I thought I'd try with Robot Kingdom, because I think I ended up getting it early, and so got some deal where it ended up costing me $10 or $20 less than many of the other options that were out and about, and I thought, hey, for something that big, but yeah, all right, I'll save some money and give New Place a shot. And it worked. They had like styrofoam packing around like a layer that they built a box around the box, And then they built another, then they have, it's actually a fans project munitioner shipping box that they shipped everything else in. It was funny when I went to the post office because, you know, my last name is Smith. I had one of the in your mailbox, hey, we tried to deliver cards. And so I take that and she goes back and she grabs a package and it's an envelope and looks at it and looks at the card and looks at it and looks at the card and looks at it and then puts that back and she grabs a tube. It was like maybe a movie poster and looks at that and looks at the card and looks at that and looks at the card. Looks at that, looks at the card. I said, no, ma'am, it's going to be a big, hefty package. And she just goes, uh-huh, and goes, and she looks at something else, and it was a larger box, like maybe the size of a Voyager box, and looks at the box, and looks at the card, and looks at the box, and looks at the card. I'm like, just find the big box, because I'll guarantee that's probably going to be it. And so then she had a big box. I saw a fans project, and went, that's the one! And she still looks at the box, looks at the card, looks at the box, looks at the card, looks at the box. Nods her head and then brings it. And she's like, how'd you know that was it? I said, because that's a Transformer toy box. And I got Transformers. And I'm a geek. And I figured that was the box. She goes, oh, okay. Well, my grandson likes Transformers. Is this one of the ones from the... I said, no, this is like from Japan and Hong Kong. And you can't get them over here. Oh, that's neat. And then she goes through the ring up. And she's like, well, I hope your son has fun. Whatever.
I was about to say you should have sent your wife in.
Yeah.
Got it a lot faster.
No, because I had to present ID. It's the first time ever I've shown up with one of those, I think, and had to present. I had to pull out my driver's license.
Oh, I have to do that all the time.
Oh yeah,
Canada
same
Post.
Thing. Always. Yeah.
I guess it's just been a long time since the postman's not just like ditched the package on my porch.
Oh, which, okay.
Okay, I guess that's a good thing. I think if memory serves, the day that he would have tried to deliver, we were having a little bit of weather. So better that I have to go in and present ID. And you know, the lady said, well, there are a whole lot of Smiths back there.
Really?
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's the most common English name, you know. No figure. But I also jokingly said I'd take all of their packages, too. And she gave me that, you... crossed some line look.
Oh, what okay. line did you cross? Oh, man. I don't agree with that.
Making a bomb joke in an airport.
You just
looked
at her.
That's not
a
bomb.
You work at the post office. Nah. This is about as exciting as it's going to get
for
you today.
My name is Smith, and there's 5 million Smith boxes. I'll take some of those. What? How is that? That's not like walking on into security going, like, I hope you don't find the bomb in my kidney. Ha, ha, ha. Like, that's a different level. That I don't agree with her at all, and I would argue with her if she were here today.
I will give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in that it was late in the day. I mean,
a little bit of benefit of the doubt. I was flipping her off when I said it, too.
Yeah, I'll take those packages, you...
I got your Transformer right here!
Hey, listen up. I know these really dirty British words. Let me tell you a couple of them.
Spastic! Window licker!
Damn!
I apologize to any spastic listeners that we have in our audience.
Damn! Aaron Smith does not represent the views or... thought points of the WTFTW podcast or TFW2005.com. So you got Predaking. That's pretty cool.
But I got Predaking. I did not realize, like I said, I didn't realize quite how hefty he was. And the I really like, is it Dive Bomb?
Yeah.
Dive Bomb, you're right.
The bird, how his arms come out and then fold down and then pull out. I did not realize how complex those were because I'm used to the Scramble City combiners, which... not quite
these
sure.
These are not.
Chair. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so transformed. You know, that's all you got to do. You pull them apart, and it has a good solid sound in there, and it's transformed. But these guys are all good and complex, and if you can get them, I mean.
That's where Predaking's legend comes from, is he's the combiner whose toys are all actually pretty solid and standalone
but they're all,
toys.
They're all
there's
standalone.
No pegheads.
Yeah, no pegheads.
Yeah.
I hope
Big Bad still has
somewhere.
Them on. Wow, that is a lot more than what I paid. Big Bad still has them up for pre-order. So if you listen to this shortly after it's published, go ahead and get yourself one.
Well, if you bought one from Big Bad, you got it before anyone else did because they had some kind of crazy hookup.
Yeah. Well, I picked mine up that day, I would have had it the same day of, I think, everybody else as they were popping up.
Hmm.
So I was just a matter of it wasn't left on my doorstep. Had it been left on my doorstep, it would have been the day after the crazy everybody was getting them.
Well, the thing is, Big Bad is in the States. Robot Kingdom is over in Asia. Where that's the thing is, Big Bad somehow skipped the whole thing of it going across an ocean.
Yeah, well, like maybe haven't they in the past done? Well, yeah, they did that for the Seacons, where they did the early air freight.
Yeah. So in this case, and it's like it came out in Japan within 24 hours of coming out in Japan. It was in Big Bad's warehouse, going onto trucks.
Yeah.
So they expedited that ish.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe they're getting it in with some Takara Tomy peeps
buddy.
Or factory or like, hey, you know, you let ours go first and slip you this little envelope.
Hey, did you get anything else this week? Or
No, I didn't. I've got some stuff.
You got some on the way from me.
On the way from you. I've got a Big Bad toy store order that I'm splitting with Geronimus that he pulled the trigger on the pile of loot on Friday or Saturday, and it still hasn't shipped come Friday.
Hold the trigger
Friday.
On the pile of loot.
And then we've also got in some other orders for a surprising warehouse find that shall remain mysterious because it's on a slow boat. So it probably won't show up in time for the next show.
Okay. Omegas, what did you get this week?
Well, as usual, I guess I should get off-topic stuff out of the way first.
By Rockman?
I've already got a Rockman. Hello? Everyone cool has a Rockman.
Yeah, I know. Right. I'm just double-checking.
Yeah.
Have you got a Rockman Bruce on the way?
Oh, it is on pre-order.
Only one?
Are you some kind of casual?
Show you how it's done right here.
Aaron, how many Rockman Bruces you got on the way?
Let me think. None.
Waiting for you
but
to try to be clever.
Zero is such a fat number.
Waiting for you to be clever and say a number so I could scream liar at you and you totally called my bluff.
Yeah, I I think they're cool, especially with you talking about how they're a lot larger than what I thought they were, but at the same time...
Oh, man, are they a lot larger.
I like how every week we're whittling them down a little bit more and more.
I already collect too much stuff.
It's only one model kit.
They come out
every
2 months.
I have like two lines of figure arts, guys, that
listen,
I have no place to put them.
There's
and
one out now.
Cool.
There's one out now. There's one coming out this month. There's one coming out in the next 2 months.
Yeah, okay, cool.
And they haven't even announced the fourth yet.
I'm happy so for you and all the Rockman fanboys.
Listen, man, you're being such a Keiji Inafune about this, going all like game development in Japan is dead and whatnot.
Yeah, well, it is, but...
As soon as he gets to do his game again, he runs out.
I got to do a blog now about other things. Seriously, that's what he...
Hey, guys, we're doing Legends 3 again! Bye!
Bye.
It's only because Protoman's here that I felt it was finally time to drop the Inafune bomb.
Oh, man. I've been following that religiously. Anyways. Oh, wow. Okay, I'm good.
What was I talking about again?
Off-topic stuff.
Off-topic
you said the word off-topic, and this little light went off in my head. And
the floodgates were open.
Quick distraction.
The pants were tightened.
Probably my final two Gaia memories are here.
But didn't you see they're doing a whole another 26 whatever
quiet,
set?
Quiet.
Only another $300.
It's a 35. It's like 150, and damn it, I am considering it.
Do it.
Don't tempt me.
Do it. You don't want to be casual. People are going to see you that you don't have it. They're going to be all like, oh, I thought that guy was going to buy them all. And then they're going
to
be all like,
I swear
oh, well.
To God. You are in the back pocket of some Japanese toy company. I don't know which one yet, but I'm certain of
it.
Now.
He gets
commission.
At least it's not as expensive as a Gamba ride, remember? You can always get one of those too if you really want. If you don't want to get I understand. You know, I don't want to get a web exclusive 35. That's fine. You know, it's big. It takes a lot of space. If you just get the Gamba ride memory, it's all the prestige in the space of one little stick.
You know what? The first time my YouTube or blip check hits 500, you know what? I'll do it. I swear I will.
He said it here.
I'll be like the only one in North America that's actually got the damn thing.
I'm sure there's one here somewhere. Someone bought it and they just don't want to say they bought it because they know that all the praise of having of owning it will be washed out by all the people going like, "We know what you spent on that little stick." And like
well, but it's the only one with an orange light. God.
So aside from all the prestigious ones your collection's
prestigious
basically complete.
Ones. Yeah. Yeah, I got the two of the magazine ones, the Telebeat Memories.
Oh, I don't like I have those ones. I'm glad I have them, but I don't like them. They're kind of they kind of suck.
yeah, they kind of suck. Well, that's how I got them. About a month ago someone put them up for like $21 for both of them because they not just bad. Couldn't stand the damn things. Understandable. I miss out on that. Pissed me off. 2 weeks later, I get a message saying, yeah, these suck. Do you want them?"
and they do, just so you know.
yeah, so these are like third, fourth hand memories at this point. So I don't know what's on them at this point, but so I'm just going to keep them and keep the plague away from anyone else. Let's see, how about something that people listening actually care about?
You should care about this, ladies and gentlemen. He could be spending $300 on a clear plastic stick that makes lights and noises. All right, that's meta. That is society today. That's an intelligent person's conversation we could be having, but it's also boring. So yeah, let's move on to something else.
It was on sale, so I broke down. I picked up the sidearm sideswipe.
Heyo. Hey. And I saw your tweet.
Yeah, I saw you saw the tweet. Waiting for that cage match.
I'll fight you.
Bring it. I saw your fisticuff picture. I don't know Queensberry rules, though. So.
And the reason why I sent that picture is because...
I don't like him.
Really?
What?
I don't know. The transformations...
Hands up in the air! I said I was going to fight him. Everyone's all like, "Oh, what are you doing that for?" I'm going to sit back here and eat my pizza.
Get out. See the door?
Go.
In all honesty, I'm kind of expecting down the line to have some kind of like reverse repaint back to the sideswipe colors using this mold because it's so good.
They did in Japan. It released without the red.
Oh, there you go. Like I think it's a very good mold in all honesty compared to the other deluxe.
I don't know. At least the other deluxe had knees. Like, my big problem with that one was the hip articulation was so restricted, and on this one it feels even worse than that.
Really?
It's the first toy I'm literally tempted to start snipping parts just so I can feel like I can do something with it.
You gotta get intimate with them. I gotta take pictures of mine. But...
I'm gonna get intimate with a knife with this thing. I got to carve these black things out from the back of his knees. It served no purpose but to block his knees.
Even Aaron who hates lockdown is saying, "Oh my god, he doesn't like the toy."
It's not hate. Cut these, it's not exploding pants love.
Gotta cut these stupid pins and they keep putting in his groin.
And controversy begins. Actually, my sidearm sideswipe is so far away from me I forgot how he works, but I know. I remember I liked him. So that's where I'm basing it off of.
I don't know. Something in my head says leg articulation is priority. So to have one that basically has just restricted hips and that's pretty much it just kind of gets on my bad side. I do like the fact that he can stand. That's a notable improvement.
And he's also a completely new toy. That's my favorite part of him.
Yeah, I find design-wise more accurate to the screen model too.
Yeah,
let's convince Omegas to like it through vocal osmosis.
You're not winning this one.
At least you have a rock
from the man. Upper half. I'll give him this. From the upper half, he's fine. I mean, tiny little head aside, there's some features I like. I like the new gun accessories. I like the different placement for them.
He also works with the 3mm clip deal, you know that, eh? The black and silver spots on his lower legs there? That's for the 3mm clip stuff, eh? Did no one notice this, or is it just me?
I didn't play with mine long enough to actually
learn. You're gonna see.
Try that.
And then you're gonna bust out your weapons, and you'll see.
That's why Dark Mount lives on my desk, so I can test that stuff out.
Well, now you're gonna... You'll see. Awesome.
So angry defenders of sidearm sideswipe, please raid the thread. just let us know. Angry haters of sidearm sideswipe, please raid the thread and let us know. Anyone who's on the middle ground, we don't care. Get out.
People like trolling. It's all about the Human Alliance sideswipe.
Hey, best sideswipe ever, am I right?
The black one.
Yeah. G2.
I'd rather have the gravity bot. Jeez.
I like the gravity bots. But anyways.
I have one gravity bot. I got it for Christmas.
You only need one.
I pay retail for my gravity bot advance at BotCon 09. So top that.
Yeah, but you're also the one with Stealth Force.
It's true. That's true. I got me some Stealth Force right there. Starcom noise.
I got me some Stealth Force too.
Oh yeah, Starcom. Anyway,
Starcom sound effect. I'm not the only person that realized that.
All it needs is
magnet points, and then we're set.
I flipped out when I heard that sound effect first. But all right, we're trying to cover, you know, to protect you from the sidearm sideswipe fan club. So hopefully we've distracted them long enough.
Okay, I'm the bad toy guy. I think I deal with this daily.
Yeah, it's not a bad toy.
Oh, it's not. Not by any extent.
I'm not saying... I'm fair about this. I'm not saying it's a bad toy. I'm saying I'm disappointed with it. The part that I was hoping would be improved was made worse.
So you've gone kind of Aaron on lockdown about it.
Kinda.
See that.
Far more favorable. I found Thunderwing.
Hey! Now Aaron hates you even more. That's great.
Hey, you have Preda King, okay? You're not allowed to growl.
No, I growled because I've been actively searching everywhere between here and Indianapolis.
Well, come down to here.
It's been no joy. It's a bit of a drive.
I thought all of America's next door. I don't understand.
Yeah, me and Vangelis were neighbors.
He's a lot shorter than I thought he'd be.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I've got him next. I've got him next to sidearm sideswipe right here, and he's still, he's still a good bit shorter.
He's low in stature. I've seen in pics.
Yeah. Oh. He's got a nice size vehicle mode, but somehow that just all goes away.
I bet you production wise, it's probably the size of his wings.
Most likely, and the cockpit section is just one solid plastic hunk. So there's probably some budgetary things doing it to him. Mm. I was really worried that he was going to be like a miniature classics Jetfire. You know, it's just everything tucked up under the vehicle, and he pretty much is, but. He does have a few little. He has a few tricks to him to kind of alleviate that. You know, there's a headpiece. You know, the chest covers up the head. You can actually fold the legs into the body to transform. He has more involved than I was afraid of.
Yeah, that leg thing. When I saw that in some videos, I thought that was a neat touch because that at least, even though it's basically just the whole thing of his whole body's chilling out under the jet, at least that kind of covers it a little bit. It makes it feel like something's flipping.
Right. You do have to kind of credit this. It's Thunderwing. You know, it's like, okay, on a Classics Jetfire, I might be able to knock seeing the arms under the wings. On Thunderwing, that's how it was.
Yeah.
No, oh, yeah.
Mega Pretender.
Yeah. Yeah. You couldn't hide nothing with those things.
No. I do like how he's more based on the comic book, though.
Well, yeah, I'm pretty sure that,
considering it's the only reason why anyone cared about him to begin with.
Yeah.
That's one of those toys where I have a feeling he was probably designed robot mode first.
Most likely. Yeah. Most likely. Yeah, because the robot mode's accurate to the comic. The vehicle mode, not even close.
You see the inner robot for one panel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The entire run of the book.
Right. Well, yeah, that's why it makes sense that it doesn't have one here.
Mm-hmm.
So I said in my video review, and for you people listening, if you don't watch my videos and you haven't been complaining about my video schedule lately.
When are you reviewing a Kamen Rider toy?
Shut up.
Review oh, no, sorry, you just reviewed like... one. When are you reviewing a Transformers toy?
I get a daily email messaging me about Plastic Addicts. Screw up, I'll do it when I want to.
When are you reviewing G.I. Joe?
That's a new. Okay.
I like to think I'm original.
I know. There's something in me that says if he just had, like, normal, solid guns, maybe they could have done some Micromaster level of transformation on the drone unit.
Yeah, that would be engineering and more parts.
It's a funny balance. It's a funny balance. Because, I mean, the point you make that is true is that by having spring-loaded guns, that makes each gun a series of parts rather than a part. So yeah. I could see if he had just, like, single plastic gun, like a single plastic piece gun, that would open up the parts count. But maybe that's why, especially when they mentioned a balk on it, they said they were thinking about it and they just couldn't get it to satisfactorily happen in the deluxe scale. I'm wondering if it was like, it was either they could pull off a kind of crappy drone and have solid guns, or a kind of crappy little robot and have solid guns, or just make it a single piece drone and give them missiles.
Go ahead. I kind of equate it to Universe Hotshot, where, okay, here in the U.S., they ditched his missiles so we can put in a Minicon. Mm-hmm. And this wouldn't even take, like, Minicon level of transformation. I mean, we're talking Micromaster, you know, flip out the legs, you know, pull out arms, done.
Well, it's the same thing, too, with Animated Prowl, where when they designed him, they were like, we're really, you know, under budget with this toy. Why don't we throw something in extra? And that's how we ended up with the, I guess we'll call it Action Master Signal Lancer. I don't know what you want to call it, but the light post, if you will. Like, that's one example of that, which is a shame because we didn't really see that with any other animated toys. Mm-hmm. But it was just one of those cases where here's a deluxe price point, and then after they finished Prowl, they're like, wow, we really did this cheaply. How much more could we put into this? So... in the case of Thunderwing, I was actually expecting him to be a little larger. I'm kind of shocked that he's a little smaller than you say he is. But I guess maybe they put more paint into it. Maybe, you know, I don't really know exactly how much budget they put into each area. And, you know, parts, painting, design, packaging, missiles, so many different factors. Kinds of plastic that's used probably ranges the different price points too. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
I will credit them to one point. They're okay as long as you're putting in these missile launchers. They did have the decency to actually allow them to combine into some ridiculous hulking purple gun like he had in the comic book.
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
Fair points. You got it there.
Very fair points, considering because the original Thunderwing just came with like an extremely small gun. And then, like, two big guns, and it's not as close to the comics at all, where this one had that huge cannon, and again, like you guys said before, it's almost like they were designing this with the intention of the comic book appearance.
Well, yeah, because he's got the green arms, you know, a lot of the detailing is more accurate to the comic. Yeah,
I think the comic appearance is probably the thing that's going to touch... be the better touchstone, the better thing that people recognize.
There's nothing else. There's the one image from the back of the UK box art. That's about it. When it comes to Thunderwing's like backstory, it's everything. It's all about the Matrix Quest storyline with
him. Yeah. So, it's the same. Yeah, I do like how Generations now has this nice little cluster of comic book focused characters. You've got Drift and Blur against Dark Mountain Thunderwing. They're all just kind of grouping themselves together now.
Well, even prior to that, when we got Bludgeon, I mean, who really cared about Bludgeon unless of a Marvel book? Yeah,
it was the same thing. I'm still waiting for a Generations Bludgeon.
You want a Bludgeoner Bludgeon?
You need a Bludgeon.
He needs to be Bludgeoner.
Get the who did it? It was
Head Robots. Doing
Head Robots, the Whirl, and. Bludgeon, 2-pack.
I got that one.
Head Robots can make that Bludgeon Bludgeoner.
Yeah. Makes him a tank. Somehow.
No, but that was my big find for the week.
Sweet. That's pretty good, because I know that GOG has been out looking for Thunderwing. He found a Thunderwing
yeah.
so far.
Yeah.
He's found many, many Cliff Jumpers and Skullgrins, but a Thunderwing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what happened here. This is the one Thunderwing the store had.
And I don't think he's short-packed. I'm pretty sure that it's a pretty even collation
yeah,
for that wave.
Yeah, it's a 2-2-2.
I know.
Or 2-2-2-2, I think.
When I got there, it was one Skullgrin, one Thunderwing, and two Cliffjumpers. So it looked like a revision wave just got unpacked.
Earth Entertainment would have the...
Yeah, I'm there now.
Packing.
I have a funny story about this while you're looking for that, about cases. This is a great Canadian superstore, and I usually, whenever I decide to go there, they just get a shipment in, and I'm now turning into that person, because that superstore is very undermanned, and they don't care. They'll just leave a pallet of cases chilling out in the middle of an aisle, blocking all the water sports toys, like the Nerf guns and whatnot, for the pool. And so I just go in there feigning that I really want to buy a water gun and like a foam pipe. And I start trying to maneuver my way around the giant pallet. Then I just start looking for Hasbro Tra Wave assortment numbers on the pallet boxes. And then, like, if I see DLX Gen or Generations, I'll, like, kind of pull out my key, look around, just, like, slice the top of the box open and peek inside. I used to do that. Now I know how to read the wave number on the box. So I'm turning into that guy who just starts skulking around open pallets looking for stuff. And I feel kind of creepy.
Okay, there are three that appear to have him in it. Wave 5 case is... They don't have... one Red Alert, one Dirge, two Thunderwing, two Skullgrin, two Cliffjumper.
Ah!
There's a Wave 6.
The repaints are the short packs.
Wave 6, which isn't out yet, is two Thunderwing, two Cliffjumper, two Scourge, two Sergeant Cup.
So Thunderwing is, like, not going to be short packed for a while.
Yeah, and then... Wave 5 Revision 1 is 1 Megatron, 1 Soundwave, 1 Red Alert, 1 Dirge, 1 Blur, 1 Thunderwing, 1 Skullgrin, 1 Cliffjumper.
That's a cool case.
That's an amazing case.
Not really short-packed, but the new to that wave is only 3 guys versus holdovers from the Wave 4 case.
Aha! All right.
EntertainmentEarth.com, great place to go to... know what you should be telling the people that won't look for your toys, what toys you're looking for.
Exactly.
Omegas, did you get anything else?
No. My money is completely tied up in a giant box full of orange plastic.
All right. And I talked to Aaron, right? Okay.
Welcome to Random Bull. That's probably not even true.
Nice.
It is nice. So we're back. RBS TP NET number 2. Because we got some facts to deliver, don't we?
Of course. Always facts.
We got some facts to deliver. So,
just the real shiz.
On the hot on the heels, and by hot on the heels, I mean several months after our previous revelation, we've come to another one, and I felt the need to report on this, and so did you, because that's why you're here, right? The need is compelling you.
It really is. I think it's something that came to my attention that I thought needs to be shared with the rest of the fandom.
The fandom, yeah, because we do this for the fandom. So, kind of hit us, right? Because we got Movie Bumblebee. Movie Bumblebee's a Camaro, right? He's like a red and, or red. He's red? A yellow. Yeah.
Okay, so it's Cliffjumper now.
He's a yellow and black Camaro. He's mute, right?
Can't talk through a radio.
That's right. So, we got Transformers Prime, right?
Oh, wait, we missed one.
What?
In the Exodus book for War for Cybertron, Bumblebee, again, exactly just like in the movie explanation, Tiger packs, Megatron grabs him by the throat, rips
out his vocal cords. Does that take place before or after the game?
The Exodus book kind of overlaps the game to a degree.
Well, Prime is in continuity, so it's the same character.
It's supposedly, but I mean, we don't see Bumblebee losing his voice in the game, but in the book he does.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is if it takes place before or after.
I am just confused because I don't know what's the official.
I don't know. But
either way.
It doesn't matter. This is more random BS. It's probably not even true, so it doesn't matter. But that is supposed to be the same character as Prime Bumblebee, which we see is, suspiciously like the movie version. Am I right? He turns into a Camaro-ish car. The only reason he's not a Camaro is so they don't have to license it. But obviously, we all know he's meant to be a Camaro. He's the same color, looks the same, and guess what? He can't talk, can he?
No, he's mute.
Yeah, so, kind of interesting, but, you know, it's the movie, and then Prime is kind of borrowing from the movie a little bit. It's obvious. They did the same thing with Optimus. So, we got G1 Bumblebee, but the only G1 Bumblebee that we have right now is IDW-verse. But IDW-verse Bumblebee, he's a bug. He's not a Camaro, right? Oh, wait. They changed him.
That's
to
a Bumble Miss Prime almost.
Yeah, but they kind of changed him to look like a Camaro. It's kind of weird.
Little bit.
But at least he's not mute. Oh, wait. He got shot with a purple beam that kind of came out through his mouth. So, if you put the facts together, you know, much like how we did with Brainmaster Soundwave, the facts are pretty obvious that Bumblebee is going to end up as a mute Camaro in G1 IDW-verse. But why would they do that? Like, why would they slowly guide this Bumblebee into this?
I know.
Oh, you in the back with your hand raised. What's your answer?
Universal singularity.
Oh. And wait, doesn't that come hot on the heels of news from Hasbro that said that Alpha Trion is no longer a multiversal singularity?
Well, they can't have too many of them, so I'm guessing he isn't anymore to make room for Bumblebee being a mute.
So does that mean that it's quite possible that Bumblebee is actually one of the original 13?
Damn friggin' Skippy.
It's true. The facts are there. Bumblebee is a multiversal singularity because he's taken the same form, having the same problems in every continuity.
So,
and just because we haven't seen it yet, I tell you what, after you have a purple laser blast that pierces your chest, come out through your throat, you're probably not going to be talking. And the dude's a Camaro.
So you think, like, when the Fallen shows up, like, in all the singularities, like, oh, there's another one missing a voice.
Yeah. So, I'm telling you, this is hot on the heels of Alpha Trion being retconned out of... Well, it's a retcon before it actually went to continuity, so it's like a pre-con retcon, but I'm telling you, they're working up their way for Bumblebee to be one of the original 13 who is a multiversal singularity, and all the facts add up. If you think about it, it's going to happen.
I'm waiting to see Alternity Bumblebee transcend Alternity and become a Camaro and lose his voice.
What would his alternative powers be?
Everything. He's the definition of a Mary Sue. Like, you thought Drift was ridiculous? Wait till you see super alternative deaf Bumblebee. No, mute. He's mute.
His silence is deafening.
Yeah, if he did talk, it would deafen existence. That's why he has to be mute. It's not by somebody else's hand that he loses his voice. It's by personal choice, like Snake Eyes in the live-action movie.
This has been Random Bull. It's probably not even true.
Let the tale begin. This is going to be one of those episodes because I got a special thing. This is less special because Lupus isn't here, but I'm still going to do it, and hopefully he will hear this episode and have fun with it. So I got a bunch of stuff in the mail, and a lot of it was off topic, and I'm going to do that first because that's how we're doing it today. So Hobby Search had a huge sale, and I almost was able to get a Japanese animated Rekgar for $20, but it sold out while I was going through the cart system, so that was sad. But I did get SIC Kamen Rider Stronger and Tackle for $30, and getting it for $30 is way the hell more awesome than getting it for whatever it cost before. And I had it open for about 5 minutes, got frustrated with Stronger's completely gimped neck joint, and did the mod so he can look left and right now. And very scary thing that you have to. It's a case of a guy with light up eyes and a light up chest. He has a thin wire running up his neck, and for whatever reason, Bandai backstepped their engineering techniques on this by almost a decade. So he has a thin wire running up his neck that prevents his head from turning. Whereas Nika already solved this problem on that scale with their Isaac Clarke Dead Space toy, where the light bulb sticks up out of the ball joint. So when you turn the head, you're turning the head around a stationary light bulb. Makes so much more sense, and they should have done that, but they didn't. So you have to push his head forward to pretty frightening degrees to like the very thin line point of it's forward enough to get your knife in to cut these nubs off, but not forward enough to snap the neck off. And I pulled it off, and now he can look left and right. So that was worth it. They also had this figure art called Cyclone Joker Extreme on sale, and there's this mod a Japanese guy did that I wanted to do. So it's this toy with a silver stripe down the middle of the body covered in clear plastic. If you disassemble the toy and pull the clear plastic off, you can use this Hasegawa hologram finish paper to add a hologram effect to it. This stuff is like static cling paper that's really finicky to use. It was a lot easier to use than I was expecting it to be, but if you are not a person of any kind of finger finesse, then you will not have fun trying to do this. You have to hand cut pieces of this stuff off of a large sheet of it, with a very good thin hobby knife. You have to use the same hobby knife to leverage the stuff off of the backing sheet, because this is thin paper that's on a thick acrylic plastic backing sheet, so it's tricky to do. But once you do it, it static clings really well. You don't have to push it in at all very much. It actually sank itself into the sculpted details, and now I have a holographic chested and legged and central pieced Cyclone Joker Extreme. I actually am hoping that Cyclone Joker Extreme continues to be on dead clearance in Japan come the next couple months so I can buy a few more of them, because I have far too much of this hologram paper. I thought it was going to take a lot more than it actually took. I also visited, when I was in Japan, there was this store called Mandarake that was really bad for me, because that's a store where people will, they'll buy a toy, they'll play with it once, put it back in the package, and then sell it back to Mandarake for a fraction of what they paid, and then Mandarake sells it for basically that fraction. That's how I got the DX Aquarion for $100, basically new. So they had some Kamen Rider stuff in there that was pretty cheap, so for about the cost of getting one web-exclusive figure art, I got the web-exclusive Growing Kuga and the Kamen Rider Kiva with the giant fist hammer, thus completing my Kiva collection for now. Yes, so that was pretty good. But my big thing I got this week that's on topic was I got the Night Morpher Annihilator, which is Mastermind Creations' second toy. It's a black redeco of their locomotive Optimus Prime with a sword and with some train track pieces. And the big thing about this that really, even though I knew about this going in, this really impressed me, is the Night Morpher Commander. We've talked about this before. We talked about this with Seth before. That's the toy everyone remembers from this year's BotCon as being the toy that TF Source had a whole bunch of. They sold out of it, and then suddenly they had a whole bunch of them for like 75% off because many pieces were broken. So the Night Morpher Commander is a great design, but it was Mastermind Creations' first outing, and a lot of the construction was not on. It was very, very haphazard in many places. And it's a shame, because it's a good toy for a third-party release. And I've always said, I really respect that in order to make their mark, they made their first release a fully original figure. That's actually, I think they are the first company to do that as their first release, a full-on original figure. So I have a lot of respect for them, but I was worried that they were not going to be able to keep their construction up to par. So I get this Annihilator. Everything is fixed. Every single thing that I had a problem with in the Commander is fixed. And they must have put a lot of work into this, because one of the big things of the Nightmorpher Commander is that he had joints, like his elbows and knees. They were really tight, but they were too tight. They were perhaps even tighter than the shoulder joints that the arms were attached to at times. And trying to slide the legs out, it felt like sometimes you were going to rip the toy in half before you got the leg to move. And I recall in their blog, they mentioned that the only way they explained this was that they used more ABS plastic. But all this stuff, it's still tight, but it's tight and smooth now. It's not scary to transform the toy. They added a ball-jointed neck to the figure's head. And in a, I thought, a pretty good show, because I'm sure they were pretty certain that a lot of the people who would pre-order this toy would already be owning one of these things anyway, they did a ball-jointed replacement head for the original Nightmorpher Commander. So now you can have a proper head on your red and blue one if you had that one. And it's just like, everything about the toy physically is superior to the Commander, and I was super impressed. And also,
okay, I guess I kind of missed that then in your video. So that was a second head, not like just a plate?
No, yeah, it was an entirely new head and an entirely new red plate.
Cool.
And because the original Nightmorpher Commander's head was just like a rivet that turned left and right. So this one, it has a different neck piece with a ball cap. And okay. The original Nightmorpher Commander had this night visor that no one could use. And then it turns out that in production, they'd forgotten to use an awl to put the divots in the side of the head on the temples so that you could actually clip the thing in there. So this new Commander head also has the divots in place already. So if you were thinking about getting the Train Prime and you don't mind it being black, and it actually looks a bit more realistic to me in black, although I've been told that they actually did have red and blue trains back in the day, it's good. It's expensive. It's a third party toy. Bear that in mind. This was, I believe, released alongside the Warbot Defender, and it's around the same price point. But if you were already ready to pay the price for it, it's good. There's still a few bits of finickiness in the construction. I've seen, on mine at least, one of the shoulders is a lot less tight than the other shoulder, but it's not in a way where it's going to cause breakages. It's just more so that if you put weapons in his left hand, it can sometimes droop his shoulder down a bit. That's about it. I was impressed. I was very, very impressed. So it is still expensive though. So if you don't want to pay a huge amount of money for a third party toy that's about the size of a Voyager, then you're probably not going to be into it anyway. But I forgot. Did any of you guys pick up the first Nightmorpher?
No.
My roommate Alex Milne picked up the first one. He was really not impressed.
Mm.
He opened it up and he was just like, "This is a piece of IDO 11."
Self IDO 11 from a Canadian. The world just moved.
It shook a little bit, just a bit. Did you feel it? I did.
Oh, I did. But I'm in the same country.
But yeah, he was really not impressed. He bought it from TF Source.
Mm-hmm.
He bought it from. I don't know if he bought one of the 75% off beat up box ones, which we all saw on the on the left side of their table, or if he bought a brand. I remember it was like on the second day of BotCon, but he was not happy with it at all, and so right away I was like, "Oh, I'm going to wait for the repaint."
A lot of people weren't happy with it, and that's why I'm so happy that they did this. Like, they even improved the box looks better. Like, they improved the packaging. They made the instruction sheet, the original one, I remember the instructions were pretty tiny, just kind of folded up. These ones are like a giant glossy piece of paper. Like, they went out of their way. They had CG made up. They had a backstory made up. They're doing more backstory entries on their blog. Like, they really saw what happened with their first toy and picked up their game. And if they can continue at this pace, then they are definitely going to be up there. Like, in that I hate calling it the second tier only because Fans Project is like operating, and as Venks to put it, Fans Project is kind of above the top tier in terms of their operations. But Mastermind Creations is now like easily on a Perfect Effect level and TF Club level. So that's why I'm so happy. And I met one of those guys involved in the project like two BotCons ago, and he was a really nice guy. And I felt so bad for them that their Commander version was plagued with all those problems. So I don't know. Are any of you guys thinking of getting the Annihilator?
Yes.
pondering, but on the far side of pondering.
I'm such a sucker for a locomotive transformer, which sucks because there's like two,
yeah,
including MicroMasters. So this in realistic colors, and with a, I was really hoping that you'd say that the quality control was still crap, so I could skip it.
I was so worried about it, and I saw their blog entry saying we kind of improved construction, but I was like, I don't know if that means they improved everything, or does it just mean it's a ball jointed head? But it's like, even down, you know how he has that lance, right? Like that really thin, yeah, pointy lance. On the first toy, the pointy end of the lance, even when it was folded up, would be sticking out a bit. When you're putting the cannon together, you'd always worry that a peg's going to hit it the wrong way and just snap it off. They redesigned the lance so it fully retracts, and they designed a little cap to put on top of the top of it so that the pointy part is protected. And it's like, just all these little things. And I'm like, man, they really picked it up. They made a holster for the lance and for the new sword that you can stick on his back. Like they really, I'm impressed. Like in terms of third party effort, this is a company that knew it had to do something to make up for the last release, and they did. So I don't know. I don't mean to gush this hard. It's just that like I was really, as one of the people who constantly said that their first one would have been good if not for all these things that went wrong in a lot of people's copies, this is just really was a great turnaround, and I'm happy for him. But and hopefully I can cause Omegas to spend $100 he doesn't have on it.
Shut up. Shut up.
Did you know that it's also got all the little details picked out in copper and brass?
Jeez, what am I supposed to keep all this straight? The freaking Annihilator and memory.
They're so good at doing light piping, and Annihilator's light piping is red, which shines 100 times brighter than blue. Did you see the video? You should see the video. You should see the video.
No, I've got money in my bank account. I have to put it toward Predaking.
You should see the video.
Don't tempt me. Don't do it.
Just as, you know, support for YouTube, brother. You know, just check out the video. I mean, I want some constructive criticisms. That's all I want. I just want to know what you think of the video. That's all.
Heart of steel.
That's all. I'm just curious. Just curious.
See, I'm being nice. I'm just sitting back and letting this happen. Because if he's going for Predaking, I was just trying to push Predaking. So,
hey, Aaron.
No.
Do you like trains?
I don't know. It's not a plane.
You like trains, Aaron? They have as rich a history as the aerodynamic.
They actually have a richer history, but
they do. You could, did you know that if you got one, you could totally just expound upon the history of the locomotive.
No, I'm good.
Tell you what, I'm waiting for the third repaint where it's done up to be the Back to the Future train.
I liked that comment when I saw that. It's the first thing I thought of with this one. And
Proto, that was a comment?
I've seen a comment about that either on TFW or on YouTube. Someone was like, Back to the Future repaint. And I was like, yes. And Proto Man, you think you might be into this one?
Oh, I'm definitely picking up the black one for sure. Because that one, what I like about it too is that it also harkens to that color scheme from the Transformers versus G.I. Joe. I guess you could say colors that we had from that first Dreamwave miniseries.
Mm-hmm.
It has that very, I guess, image noir look to it, and I really like that. Then I hopefully they'll do a third release where they'll go back to the Prime colors, because being a purist, I really want to have that mold.
I was going to say, like the fact that they included a replacement head speaks to me that I'm sure it's, if they're not going to do it, it's probably in their consideration to redo the first one.
Yeah, because I've heard there's been a lot more problems than just the neck, though. That's why.
Oh, no. Like I said, like replacing the head helps, but it still has all those joint problems from before. So,
because Alex was really not happy with his. And I was
if you got a bad one, I got a decent one. I know Seth just didn't open his. He's scared to. I know people who had perfectly fine ones, but on the other end of the spectrum, there were ones at TF Sources table with both knees broken at the knee joint, like broken.
No toy should have to suffer from that out of the box. You know, that's like gold plastic syndrome bad, you know, like,
the reason why it happened is just because they were using a non-ABS plastic, I believe, with extremely tight rivets in the joints that were stronger than the
case
plastic.
Was in a paint mixer. Like, how does that happen?
So, I don't think they were broken out of the box. I'm pretty sure it's just someone pulled it out, tried to transform it, and just crack. Like you, that original one, it can survive, but you have to be careful with it. Like you have to treat it like a Japanese garage kit, pretty much.
I know those.
Like a Japanese garage kit made of more durable materials, but you still treat it as though it was made of resin, and then it'll survive a lot better. But so if you're on board, that just leaves one person left for me to put my fangs into, that being, hi, listener. I know you've been listening to our conversation this whole time, but I never really talk to you, do I? So don't worry about those guys. Let me just come over here for a second. All right, I know that you like trains, and I just told you all about how this one's so much improved physically. It has a superior body, and at the end of the day, isn't that what we all want? Don't we all want a superior body so we can live longer? This toy, it could really help you extend your lifespan, so I think maybe you should consider it. Anyway, I don't want to distract you from the other fellows. Hi, guys! I was just talking to a listener for a second. Hope you don't mind. Having a heart-to-heart through the headphones.
Heart of steel.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I do live longer when I convince people to put themselves in financial stress. So, you know how vampires get that hunger? They get that look in their eye when they're going to drink some blood?
He drinks the blood of fanboys.
It's so sweet. And I had one other thing. Sorry. I got so distracted by feeding. Omegas, you're going to buy it, right?
Quiet.
You like trains? I got a box in the mail from our very own Lupus Convoy. And I can't remember what it is. Or if I even am supposed to know what it is. And I don't know if I'm supposed to open it now. So I thought I'd wait till we were on the air.
If we hear a loud explosion, I claim the podcast.
So I wish Lupus was here for this, and I feel kind of bad. Do you think I should do it?
I would wait, personally. You shouldn't have me as his facsimile, you know?
Yeah, it feels odd. Like, so I'd
wait. If he can't make it next time, then do it on the next show.
Yeah, let's do that. So I have a box from Lupus, and I'd like to have him present when I open it. Just because we have this unique situation where we can not only be present via the internet, but also record it for your entertainment without it being too contrived. So I will hang on to the box for now.
So it's tune in next week.
Week after next week.
Tune in 2 weeks from now.
Tune in 2 weeks from now to see if I open it 2 weeks from now.
And if we don't, well, we apologize.
Yeah.
If I'm back, I'm sorry.
So we have listener questions, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to answer a couple of them. This first listener question comes to us from Wraithnor, who I know also from the Cape Radio over in City of Heroes, where none of you know about this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Cape Radio's DJ Enigma has retired from active Cape Radio duties. Enigma is still kicking around, but is no longer doing regular shows or being super active in the production of our audio spots. And I want to mention this because it is almost entirely due to DJ Enigma that this podcast exists. If you trace things back via Chaos Theory, 07, at my buddy's house I was staying with for 90 days, it was Enigma who convinced me to start messing around with GarageBand. And if it were not for that, this podcast, it might still exist, but it might not be quite as delightfully edited. So, I know many of you probably don't care or don't even know who I'm talking about, but DJ Enigma is responsible in part for a lot of the stuff that I do right now that people listen and watch or listen to and watch with their eyes. So, thank you, DJ Enigma. And you're probably not going to hear this. If you're listening to this though, you're probably messaging me on IMs right now talking about how we're talking about weirdo Transformer geek stuff that you don't understand. Cause that's what you do whenever you listen to the podcast. So, yeah. Wraithnor knows who DJ Enigma is. So this is on topic. Wraithnor says, quote, "Dear Vangelis and Wootif crew, technical specs have been part of Transformers since the beginning of the toy line. Does the idea of using those specs as part of a game that would utilize the Transformers toys as essentially wargaming miniatures have any appeal to you as Transformers fans? Would you like to see such a toy line built around this concept?" I remember one with missile launchers. how would you design such a game? As an example to get you started, : the game could be having Legends-class toys as Targetmaster/Armada-style power-up minicons. Scouts and Deluxes could be the frontline troops, while the larger Voyagers and Leaders could be heavy assault units. I want to throw out there, I've seen this done. There's a guy on YouTube who really reminds me of Neil Patrick Harris, called Crappy TF Hater, I think. But he has a couple kids, and he actually plays a war game style role-playing game with his kids using Transformers that he actually wrote a rule book and a source book for it, for him and his kids to mess around with their toys with some rules attached. And apparently it's pretty neat. I know he's done it. He has video stuff of them messing around with them like that. And I know I've heard of the concept before. I think it totally works if you're a war gamer. It's kind of, I find, actually a really interesting concept, because it really hits that cool defining thin line between the older, the mature war gamer and the kids who are just playing with their toys. Because this really hits. You're playing with your toys as a war game, and as much as they might not want me to say this, war gaming, I think, really extends nowadays, for a lot of folks, from that sensation of playing with your toys as a kid. So it's a cool idea. I'm not as much of a war gamer now as I was many years ago. I'd love to, if they wanted to do it, I think it'd be fun to watch at least. I don't know how I'd design a game, because I'm a horrible game designer. I'm a total twink about that stuff. be all like, well, you guys can do whatever you want, but my character gets 3d20s for everything he does ever, and you all get d6s. Do want to mention, though, that they did do a Transformers quote-unquote war game called a Tactics. And it had a wargaming element to it. Many people, I think, still play it even. You shot missiles at each other, but if you wanted to have a wargaming element, when you rolled the figures forward, their base made a clicking noise due to a wheel on the bottom. And so that would be your movement value, would be you could move this many clicks. That's why they were attack ticks. But yeah, it's a great idea. I'd love to see someone do it. I don't know if I'd play it, really. But I like playing role-playing games. I love playing D&D, but that was only the one time, and I'm sure that my style of playing D&D would infuriate some more hardcore gamers out there, because I shout a lot. Aaron, as a D&D dude, and yes. D&D is not wargaming, but I feel it also has ties to wargaming as a tabletop concept. How do you feel about this?
It actually stems from wargaming, but...
Ah,
chainmail. I think that with, like, tech specs, you could use that for, like, your stats of things. Each one of them could kind of have its pull-out thing, except for, I don't know, courage. I know that, like, Warhammer 40K, you actually have to do, like, bravery, or not bravery.
Leadership?
Morale and leadership type checks. So I guess all of the bits of the tech spec could come in, you know, your speeds, how far you can move. However, what I look at specifically, if we're taking the existing toys and stacking this wargaming thing on top of it, is the sheer scope of the size of things. Because especially when you get guys that are like, you know, any Prime or Megatron, any of the leaders are going to be the 10, 10, 10 plus, 10, 10, 9, 10 plus. Okay. Yeah,
infinity.
Yeah. Yeah, bring out your dudes. I'll just drop, you know, oh yeah, I got Unicron. His numbers were all like 11 billion plus.
Well, I think that's where you'd have to have these tech specs like designed from the tech spec ground up to be for a war game.
Yeah. I mean, it's... You know, especially if you, like you said, there's somebody out there already that's done something similar. I think it'd work. I don't know about having it go the other way where toys would be specifically made for that function, because then you're pigeonholing a lot of things. You're going to be not looking at toy design, which is what gets me. I like the transforming concept of everything. You'd be looking at, okay, we can do this, but no, we just did a Starscream, and he's got a 9 speed since he's a jet, and so we don't want to have a whole lot of jet toys, because then that may throw off the balance of whatever game's out there. So, no, we can't make Blitzwing, because that'd be another jet, even though he has the tank. And, oh, God, what are we going to do? How are we even going to think about doing triple changers in this game?
I'm sure you'd do it with very small casts at first, and then expansion.
But I'm saying, scenario. Though, that to make Transformer toys with this game, that you'd have to keep things like game balance, because every game has had issues with, you know, they make something that is maybe within, you know, the big one would be like Magic the Gathering.
Black Lotus.
Yeah. Yeah, there are things that weren't even thought about. The Lotuses, the Mox, Ancestral Recall. What was the other one? Time Warp. You know, the power...
Time Walk.
Yeah, oh, is that the one where you had to play an entirely separate game? And then
no, that was Shazara.
Okay. That was a bust. I remember that card was busted.
Where, yeah. How do you people are dorks?
I'm sorry. Hey, it was high school.
I grew up in the heyday of Magic in elementary school. Yep. What was I supposed to do about that?
But, you know, those cards, for the people that don't play Magic out there, break.
Conceptually, they're fine. But in the metagame of the game, they open up tactics that can break the game if someone is aware of
them. With specifically the Black Lotuses and Moxes, you can have two other rather common cards and have a first turn kill.
Exactly.
Where, hi, how are you? Shake hands. Let's have a good game. Boom, 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 boom. Game over. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Well, the way that worked, right, is that those were cards you could put down for free. They each played towards your casting pool of how many points you had.
Yeah, towards your resources.
Mm-hmm. So if you loaded your deck up with them, so there was a good chance you'd get a hand of a whole bunch of those, and then like a big monster, you could lay down a pile of these things. You could summon a monster that in the metagame you're not supposed to even be able to have on the table until like the sixth turn of the game. Have it out there the first turn and just go like smack, kill your opponent one shot.
Actually, no, it was Black Lotus.
Or was it Fireball?
Fireball. The channel Fireball. Where you could take your own life, turn that into resource, and then turn that around to burn the other guy. And with four cards, which if you're running a small deck, you know, we're getting into Magic the Gathering.
High likely, if you had four of every one of these cards in your deck, you had a high likelihood of having a bunch of these in your hand. And Channel Fireball, I forgot about. I was thinking, see, my whole thing of like, oh, you put out a big monster to break the game. That's already not even as broken as Channel Fireball could be.
Yeah.
Chances are, if you had four of all of those, go buy a car.
Well, no, well, not, but at no, the no, time,
they became like that. Yeah,
not
but
at
back
that
when
time,
they first came
I mean,
out.
Back when they first time, came I know, out. I but I would be afraid of if you were to make a game using Scout, Deluxe, Voyager, Leader. You know, you're talking, that's a line. That's, mm-hmm. you know, 6 months to 9 months of toys. That from, I don't know, in my mind, in a realistic standpoint, you'd have to have, you know, you'd have to be pulling the guys from Wizards who are all under the Hasbro family in and say like, hey, you know, we want to do a game like this.
Do the guys from Wizards do a war game right now? Like, I'm not even sure if they have the staff who have the chops to do wargaming. I know that they do a lot of tabletop stuff, but I don't know if do they do an actual war game right now.
I don't know if they have a miniatures war game
because those are very different design chops as well. Yeah. Than like a collectible card game and a tabletop war game are two different things. In the metagame, but just as an example for a way to break a game. Magic was a very breakable game.
Yeah.
Way back when it started
off. But you know, so they had to do they had to be very judicious in what they did. Later on, and even still occasionally, there'll be an oddball combination of cards that somebody in Germany finds out and becomes the thing that dominates the tournament scene until somebody goes, no, look, you can't bring those cards to the table anymore.
I have a whole bunch of German Magic cards from my time in Germany.
So I would be afraid of all of a sudden, you know, if you have Bumblebee and Prowl, and then it becomes this whole big combo thing, and so then they either have to... You know, put the stops on another toy that was coming out that would make that even crazier, or it just brings so much other potential craziness into what essentially I like because it's a car and it's a robot. I can't get Swindle now because they had the weapons dealer special perk or something or other that
all the power gamers bought up the Swindles.
Yeah,
they could field three Swindles.
And so you got to go on eBay and buy a set of four Swindles for $200 because that's the only way you can get them, short of being the first one there.
That's the metagame's keystone.
Or things
in this iteration.
blind packed, and for something that's $2 or $3, I can deal with blind packing, but not $10 or $20 or, you know, oh, it's the leader blind pack. You could get Prime, you could get Megatron, you could get Turd in a Box, because Turd in a Box is common. And no.
So in hindsight, I probably should have asked Aaron about this last, because I forgot that when, since we both have vague
knowledge of
the stuff, we'd go on a tangent. Hey, Omegas, you ever play Warhammer? Yeah, Necromunda?
That's all I got.
What about Gorkamorka? You ever...
What's that one the Penny Arcade guys are hitting on a whole bunch, isn't they?
Are they hitting Gorkamorka?
I don't know. They've talked about...
Because everybody talks War about Machine. Well, yeah, War Machine's a different company. That's the big game right now. That's Privateer Press. I mean, like, everyone, when they talk about the low-tier Games Workshop games, it's always Blood... I love Blood Bowl, I will say that. Yeah. But it's always stuff like, oh, Epic, you know, or Battlefleet Gothic, or Mordheim, or Necromunda. Everyone forgets Gorkamorka, and that's the best game Games Workshop ever made. Just saying. But I'm guessing that... Hey, Omegas, would you play a tabletop game with Transformers?
God, I don't want anyone complaining when I talk Gaia Memories.
So you can turn into us?
God, I've got a friend that's obsessed with Warhammer. I don't even want to venture into any kind of territory like this.
Yeah, so you'd keep hands off, and if they're cool toys?
Well, I think the point's been obliterated. you have your problems like the Fallen, Strength, Intelligence, Infinite. Okay, that's a little problematic. If we're playing with You know, he's talking about adapting leader figures, so we're going to need a really big playing board.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could work, since we've had tech specs for so long, but it definitely have to be a little bit balanced out.
Yeah, I think you'd really have to design those tech specs for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the way I figure it is... Generation 1, there's just so many characters that you wouldn't even have to adapt it, but then you'd end up using just, like, absolutely random characters to do this.
Yeah.
Or...
You reminded me of something. Here I go.
What?
You mentioned leader class needing
okay,
a big...
I'll just sit back for 20 minutes.
Well, you mentioned leader class needing a big playing board, right?
Ugh.
Because like it would be a huge figure with a bunch of scouts, right? Mm-hmm. Well, in HeroClix, they have colossal-sized characters like Galactus and Starro, and because they're grid-based, they actually came up with a way to work those in. That's all I wanted to say. So, Omegas, come back!
okay. Come back. I was almost done with the book. Something that occurred to me, and something that might be a little bit more grounded to the point where maybe this could work a little bit better. How about we repackage a bunch of robot heroes and do Beast Wars?
I can see that.
See, something like that could work.
Yeah,
a lot better. But then that's pretty close to being a tactic in the first place.
But you don't even have to change the name, so you also keep the copyright alive. So this is a double win-win.
Robot Heroes, the tabletop war game.
This also might just be me trying to figure out some way where I can get that Tigatron and Inferno that you know, only came out for like 1 week over in Singapore.
Oh man, I got one of those from a guy in the UK. I just remembered. Hit up the Europeans. They got a hold of those ones.
I'm thinking about it.
Hey Protoman, do you play any war games?
I had a buddy who got really hardcore into D&D about 5-6 years ago, and he tried to get me into it. I was a big Magic the Gathering player back in high school, and loved that to death. Any CCGs, pretty much. I played them all back then. Like there was an X-Files one, there was the Overpower one, which was the Marvel, and then later into DC, and then Marvel then went into their Versus series. I played all of those because I love that stuff. There was even a Killer Instinct, the Nintendo game, CCG. I played it.
What about the Mortal Kombat one with the friendship cards?
That one I didn't.
That was a rare game.
I can see them from here.
I only
Star
ever
Star Trek
once.
The Next Generation.
Oh, okay, that Next Generation the, game was friggin' boring as all hell when I was in... not to go on a tangent here. You had to build a friggin' cool, galaxy though. Out of cards in a giant line, and then you had to drive your ship slowly down the line, making lengthy, like, planetary visitation proceed. The problem with that game is, if you bought two starter decks, you still couldn't play the game, because you needed, like, 300 cards to play that game.
Yep.
That game was awesome, though. I mean, you had clear plastic cards, so you could assimilate anyone into a Borg, which was awesome.
But it's just like, that was a case of a game where that shouldn't have been a CCG. That should have just been a big box of cards sold for like $100. Like, that, making that a CCG, especially since I was 12 or something when that came out, that made it the dumbest game ever, because as a 12-year-old, I couldn't convince anybody to sit down that long to try to figure out how to play that game. Sorry, that set me off. I don't know why that set me off.
Sorry. Anyway, so I have that whole background of that. And of course, even especially in high school, like when I was in high school, Beast Wars was out, and I was always like, oh man, you know, I would love it if there was Transformer magic cards. Like, oh, the Matrix would be an artifact, and if Hot Rod's in play, then, you know, you tap Hot Rod with the Matrix in play, sacrifice the Matrix, he gains, you know, +6/+6. I don't know. I used to actually think about that. We did get that in reality with the Beast Wars mutating card game, which was, it's kind of a marriage of tabletop with Magic the Gathering, which is where the Beast Wars mutating card game, it had a three-dimensional board game environment, which was like a mountaintop. And then there was also playing cards, which had, they were like the Beast Wars characters, and you had like this original art of all these like non-show characters too, like Wolfang and Igneous and Insecticon, etc. And then, like you were saying before, like we had a Tactics, and a Tactics, I almost felt like it was a Tactics was like the dumbed down children's version of what tabletop gaming was, where they were trying to make it. I don't want to say fun, because that would be insulting to tabletop, but I'm saying they were trying to make it like more playful, I guess.
They're trying actiony.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like, the figures are what did it, not dice or...
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, you know, like we mentioned the missiles, but also, like, in the case of, like, certain characters that had lances or weapons...
Oh, right, the melee stuff.
Yeah, they had, like, their little twisting, you know, swipe attack. Like, I know more so the Star Wars ones with all their lightsabers to, like, swing and everything. And I remember when this came out, I bought a bunch of them because I was kind of hoping that this would pick up, because I thought it was kind of fun, the idea, you know? And watching videos online of people playing it, and I'd watch people online playing it, and it looked so goofy. It was kind of hard to take it seriously. Where, you know, I've seen people play HeroClix with Marvel and DC, and that was more professionally done.
Well, that I used to play that for quite a while, and that is a dice game. What it did to simplify things was it took away character sheets by building all the stats into
the figures,
into the base, so that when you get hit,
I love that.
You get hit, you don't have to keep track on a notepad of how many wounds you've taken. You just click it once, and then once your guy's dead, you click it once, and everything says KO. So you're like, oh, he's knocked out. Take him off the board. Boom.
Yeah, that's just it. And so by comparison, I saw what they were trying to go with a Tactics, but it was almost like it was the Fisher Price attack, like the Fisher Price HeroClix or Warhammer, where it was like it was for 5-year-olds getting into it or whatever. Granted, yes, hey, great Transformer figures, you know, you had from different continuities, from, you know, Cybertron to Energon, and even they were trying to put in some G1 before the line completely like tanked, but it didn't work. It didn't work very well. They were also putting in Marvel and Star Wars, so you could mix your continuities and everything.
Yeah. That's
but crazy. In the end, like, that didn't work either. And I think the last one that I can remember was the 3D card game that came from the movie.
I bought a whack of those for dead cheap.
I have the entire set of these. I actually bought it from a card show that I went to that was also selling comics. Some guy had the entire run of both the movie and the Energon Wars, And because he just bought like cases of these, and then he just assembled some full sets, like unpunched, like still on the guards. Mm-hmm. So I even have tons of doubles. So if anyone is listening, if they're looking for anything,
I brought a ton of doubles to a BotCon. Nobody wanted them.
Oh, of course. Me too. I bring them to every show and I keep them in a binder. And I'm just like, hey, you want a Grimlock? It's kind of like a 3D puzzle. You know, that's pretty much how you could sell it as, because no one. That game, too, it was a very dumbed-down version of a CCG where it was rock, paper, scissors. It was like, here's my character, you know, pick one of three colors, this color beats that color, and my character has a stats card that says what this color does. But again, very dumbed down. You could learn the rules in like 5 seconds, which is a shame because, again, looking back when I was playing Magic in high school and the complexity that was Magic, and by this point we were already in Mirage, for those who are listening, that what Mirage is in Magic.
It's an F1 car, isn't it?
That too. The Ligier. But the set of Mirage, you know, there was so many complexity and rules and everything, and I was always hoping there'd be a Transformer CCG that had that level. And I know that G.I. Joe did at one point, if I remember correctly.
I didn't keep track of it.
But, yeah, like it just disappeared, obviously, like many other CCGs that came and went. Even this one now, the Transformer one, obviously it didn't do well because it's gone now. No one talks about it.
Yeah.
But I would love a tabletop Transform one, because I like tabletop gaming. It stems from my love of Magic, and even when my friend tried to get me into D&D, he also did the whole medieval tabletop gaming kind of stuff, and I was always into that stuff. It looked fascinating to me. I love miniatures. I love those kind of, like, you know, it's toys, but toys you actually get to play with other people without looking like a complete lunatic, you know? It's like, you know,
and that kind of stems back, right? That's where I'm coming from. Is that, to me, I know wargaming has different roots, but nowadays I know a lot of people probably at least subconsciously play war games to hit that same feeling you got when you were really little.
I mean, even if I go to BotCon and I bust out, you know, a deluxe, and I start going up to another like guy holding a deluxe going, "Hey man, you got Breacher, pew pew pew." He's going to look at me like I'm crazy in a BotCon.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially if you say it like that. And
they're going to think like, whoa, who's this fruitcake? Why are you playing with your toys, you know? We only buy them, pose them, and leave them on our shelf to get dusty, you know?
That's why you have the demo table.
Yeah. You can go and steal Drift from it.
You know what? You go to the demo table and you do that, then security takes you away for bugging the children, you know? Like, yeah. For trying to heist one of the toys and leaving the sword behind from Drift. Anyways, but that's another story.
Oh, dear.
But it's just, I used to go. I've never in my entire life actually participated in a tabletop game vividly. But I've watched people play it, and they would have these big elaborate environments. These were all medieval ones. I never saw any of the more like, you know, steampunk or modernized ones. But all the medieval ones had these beautiful elaborate environments, which I find very impressive and respectful, considering how whoever built it, you know. Let alone just have the time to paint everything, but it's, you know, I would love to have something like that of Transformers, because when the Monopoly Transformer game came out, not the Monopoly, excuse me, Risk, when the Risk Transformer game came out, I loved Risk, and I ran out and bought that, because it's like, oh my god, here we go, strategy, tabletop Transformer game, as close as it's going to get, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of fun, the Risk, the movie Risk game, if you guys could find it, because it has a whole transforming aspect to it also.
I have it. I've never played it. In Monopoly. It's cool.
The Monopoly one, there's not much that they changed from the original rules, but the Risk one, they actually input, like, you know, there's pieces of the planet that shift and move.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, your territories, you know, at one point, you know, you think you're safe from, you know, let's say the Unicron domain, but now your planet shifts, and now the Unicron domain has access from the back, and now all your drones are unprotected. That was really cool. And that's right now, that's probably the closest thing to a tabletop Transformer game that I could think of that was at least a little fun to play, with the exception of one. And if you've ever gone to TFCon on the Fridays, specifically the earlier years between 2004 up to 2007, the Armada Transformer board game.
Oh, I remember you guys talking about that.
people have to this game, and everyone's probably going to think I'm crazy. This game, guys, sit down and play it. It is without a doubt the best Transformer board game ever made. It is a mix of Magic the Gathering with a strategy board game. And it is super, super, super fun. It's, I can't describe, just find it. You'll probably find it on clearance or on eBay for like $4 or whatever. But it's an amazing board game. You know, you pick your characters, you create your team, you create your own, there's no set environment. You build your own environments because they have all these different wedges of boards where you could go, okay, one corner of the board is going to be Cybertron, the other corner of the board is going to be the pit, the other corner of the board is going to be a jungle. And it creates all these different play patterns, and it's a 3D environment. And then you choose your character, and each character has his own playing deck with his own abilities and mini-con abilities. And it's played like Magic the Gathering where you draw, you know, a hand of cards, and it's like, okay, I'm using Hotshot, and I play Jolt Transformation, which makes me move 7 spaces because Jolt transforms and lifts them up or whatever, you know. And there's a point system with health and everything, and that's a great game. And for the longest time, everyone used to play at a TFCon until we started getting, you know, video games of Transformers, and then we just started doing that instead.
And you have Pictionary now as well going on.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of got distracted from the good old days of sitting down with a family game night game. But so, yeah, right.
Well, I guess,
that's my tangent.
I guess we kind of have hardcore answered this question. So I hope Wraithnor,
yeah, hit it up.
Hope Wraithnor is happy. I will. I know he listens to my radio show, so I'll just tell him on Sunday.
Yeah, listen to this one.
124, Wraithnor. Trust me. All right, trust me. I'll just tell him we totally talk crap about him or something like that. You're like, oh, what?
I don't know the guy, but I hate him already.
We have one other listener question. This is one of those ones that implies it would like to be for both teams. We don't have enough. The queue is so packed. We don't have the time to double up questions anymore, I'm afraid. But
especially when we take 45 minutes to talk about something that,
especially, yeah, yeah, when you guys ask a question that sets me off about Gork. You want to get me going. You start talking about something that can get me onto Gorkamorka, and I will tell you all about my glory days.
I didn't hear Monster Apocalypse come up.
Well, Monster Apocalypse is still running. That's by the guys who do. Hi, everyone.
Vegas, we just got away from
it. Just wanted to see.
That's
if
by
it
the
would
guys
work.
who. That's by Privateer Press. They're the guys who do War Machine. It's also a very good. It's a very board gamey war game, and it has a Voltron set out that you can pick up. With
cool. Really?
It has combining robot like rules in it.
You just caught my attention.
The human group who are like the guys with the anti-Godzilla tanks and fighter jets, they have a combining robot called Legionnaire. And in the Voltron set, you get a combining Voltron.
Yeah, I gotta look that up later.
Monster Apocalypse.
You do. Later. Much later.
Not hey, right I can tell you all about Monster Apocalypse, guys.
Quiet.
So we have this listener question from Big Botza. Who says, quote, I'm leaving it here because you're the ringleader. I think he left it on my profile. Podcasters, even in odd teams. That's right, a two-parter. I wish it could be. Now that we have a third installment of the Transformers movie franchise on the way and some sort of science fiction backstory as well, do you foresee a live-action TV show series? If so, who would star? Bots and Meatbags, Go Wild Boys. Thanks from here, the start, Bot, Big Botza. Thanks here from the start, Big Botza. I don't understand. So I actually don't see a live action TV show series until CG becomes easier to do. And by that I mean like decent CG that blends with live action people. Because the live action movies are basically our live action Transformers thing, and those require a highly expensive CG. And I think that if you downgraded that CG and tried to do a 13 episode season, it would look pretty 90s.
And it's live action, so we're asking an hour, not half an hour, usually.
Yeah. If you did half an hour, that would be, what, 13? That would be...
6.5 hours.
Six and a half hours of live action Transformers, and...
Which probably equates to really more like 5 hours of show by the time you get rid of...
commercials, and then like, it wouldn't look good unless it had... Like, it would need a bigger budget than Prime has, I think.
It kind of harkens to like where they were first talking about a Star Wars live action TV series
mm-hmm.
after the original the new trilogy ended, And then they kind of just probably said, you know what, that just wouldn't work.
Well, and also, Star Wars and Star Trek and a lot of great sci-fi live-action shows have the boon of their special effects can feasibly be done in practical.
Yeah.
You can't do a Transformer in practical unless it's like standing in the background the whole time.
Oh, of course not. Considering it's the title.
You could do like I'll cite Kamen Rider. Kamen Rider Fives had a transforming motorcycle. That was already a huge suit. And it didn't when it transformed, it transformed in a pretty CG way, and it kind of just stomped around a whole bunch and got shot all the time. So I don't know. I don't think, especially since Transformers would have to actually come off more as characters, it would be hard to do without it either relying on them being robots almost all the time, or, and then if you do it like that, a lot of people are just going to look at it and say Power Rangers.
Knight Rider. Yeah, I was just about to say that. The Knight Rider that just came out recently.
Yeah.
People are going to make those parallels.
Yeah, so I can see
a lot of car talkie as a car time.
Yeah.
Coming up with bad ways of, you know, okay, people at large don't know about Transformers, so you have to stay hidden all the time. And so it ends up being just talking to maybe like a CG face on a computer screen inside of the car.
Yeah.
Hello, so and, it has a face.
And much like you right. were saying, like Sentais and Power Rangers, in order to manage the budget properly, I can imagine that a bulk of the episode is just the actual stunt car or the car talking, mm-hmm. a la Knight Rider style. And if the robot actually did transform and there's any kind of action, it would be near the end of the episode, condensed into the last 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah.
For the sake of budget.
Yeah, stock footage, you know, just over and over. You know, just use the same clip over and over.
Yeah, I can't foresee it even happening.
There is a solution. I could see only one way this would actually work. And it's called Master Force.
Yeah, of the Master Force live-action series. That's it. Because that's a Toku series, basically.
It is.
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, okay, even if the robots can't be done in CGI, you, like, Cloverfield it. And just, like, save it for the finale.
And like,
a big CG foot that just comes down in the middle of a fight, and the humans are running
it's just
around.
Oh! Humans running away from shaky cam.
And like I say, I don't see it happening. I bet it might happen sometime in the next, like if after the live action movies, if Transformers doesn't maintain momentum, perhaps they will turn back to live action and in a TV form. But with the technology of 2010, I don't see it happening very effectively.
Not to mention the marketing direction. Ultimately, in the end, it's for kids, and like Transformers is going to remain in that kids aimed median, where even with Star Wars, again, they stuck with their bearings of a CG show and something that's more cartoony to market to children. By doing a live-action show, we're talking perhaps prime time, like a Smallville kind of thing, where you're not trying to sell action figures anymore. You're trying to sell a story. Again, I'm not saying that, you know, a live-action show can exist for marketing for children, but has it really ever successfully?
Not with super high quality.
Yeah, exactly.
Power Rangers RPM was pretty good, but that broke a long streak of...
Yeah.
That's also using existing material from another country.
Yeah.
And then superimposing it. Sentai's an odd animal with that.
Also,
like
a majority of the action of RPM that wasn't imported was still people in non-robot suits.
Yeah.
Where a lot of the action relied on them being able to actually move and be on their crazy, you know, wire foo, etc. stuff. So,
and again, we're comparing to a martial arts live action, heavily human based series. Where again, like the question asks, like human characters, do we even consider that at the moment?
What I was going to say for who would be in it, you know, it's I don't think there's anyone who's really made for it except for the fact that if it's sci-fi live action, if it's a good show, it'll probably have Adam Baldwin in it. B, if it's a show that's going to get canceled, it'll probably have Nathan Fillion in it. Boom. That's all I could say for cast. And I love Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
It'll have a boy, a girl, and a dorky boy.
And a girl that does nothing. Part of me just really wants to have like Dr. Archibald show up. So, and I want to cast like Gary Busey. I want someone who's literally insane to play that guy.
Yeah, I could see that. I don't know. Like we've been very back and forthing on this. So like, do you guys have? I guess just for cast, I suppose. Protoman, do you have any particular cast names?
Okay,
you could pick
up? Well, because we're marketing it more at adults here. Because I honestly, and I'm
Jenna Jameson.
I cannot really see this ever existing. Period. I'm really like putting my foot down, saying like, I don't think this will ever happen. ever. I mean, if it does happen, I'll be shocked. But I think that if, as long as it's television, I think Hasbro is going to – they'll sooner do something similar to G.I. Joe Resolute before they do anything live action.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, but hey, let's say I'm in Bizarro World and it does happen. They're going to go with the hot teen cast. So whoever's popular at the time, hey, what's his name there? Tom Welling, you're Spike now. And, you know, what's her name? Kristen Kirk, you're Carly. I don't know. And Peter Cullen, you still alive? Okay, you're going to be you're going to be Megatron now, because we're going to mix it up because we're tired of seeing you as Optimus, you know. And David Kay, you're back, and now you're Megatron. I don't know.
You're Megatron too.
Yeah, you're Megatron too.
Megatron and Megatron.
Megatron
2 is a good
from
one.
From the UK, you know, time universe stuff.
So it becomes like a bad buddy comedy of, you know, the odd levels. Megatron and Megatron 2.
My two Megatrons.
Two Megatrons in a pizza place. I don't know.
Yeah, now, Cullen and Welker have shared bodies in a Rock Lord, so it's possible. It can be done.
It's true. It sticks and stones. You're right. But yeah, it's I can't picture it. Like, yeah. It's one of those like fan ideas that just I really can't imagine. And that's being serious. Like,
Aaron or Omegas, do you have any other thoughts on this?
That's no.
I know. I still support live action Master Force.
It already exists.
Adam Baldwin as Lander.
We can cast like Justin Bieber as Cancer.
Oh yeah. Please, just
because
I like Cancer.
Because the girls go yay, and the guys go appropriate name.
Yes.
Da da da. All right. Well, I hope we answered your question, Big Bots. You know what? Let's turn on the spoiler section. Let me flick the switch.
This is the spoiler section. From this point forward, the virginity of your experience with upcoming Transformers media will be at fatal risk. You have been warned. Turn back now, or bear your penance for eternity.
Because I got a couple things that we can bring up here. Number one, hey, Protoman, just like quick capsule me here. Do you think Prime's pretty cool?
I like Prime.
You liking it so far?
I was on the fence in the first two episodes, but now I'm digging it after the two others, and I'm going to see 5 tonight.
Yeah, I'm watching 5 after we record, so...
I've watched 5 already.
Oh, look at you! I'm being special!
Oh,
I've seen them 5 already!
Credit King is Prime.
I know about plans!
Spoilers. Bulkhead shows up. I'm just saying.
You can hear about Omegas and Aaron and my own thoughts about this on WTF Primetime, available now on the WTF at TFW podcast RSS feed. Protoman, do you foresee good things out of Prime?
I like the direction it's going in. I remember I was talking to someone on Twitter. They were saying that the series is almost getting too serious. And I, like, in all honesty, are we going to now complain about that? I mean, from what I've seen thus far, and these are little key things I'm just going to pull away from it. We've seen a form of blood, which we've heard the word die and death used on it.
And undead. And desecrate.
And specific no-nos already. My worry also of there's going to be such a limited amount of designs. Well, there was, again, this is spoiler space, so like the zombies, you know, there were some modifications already of the zombie design, if you will. So they're making very good job. I love Jeffrey Combs' Ratchet.
It's so good.
He's, He's doing a great job. I think if I have to complain about anything, I don't like Raphael or Raph. I don't like him because he's that atypical Mary Sue nerd kid. But it's not just like him. It's whenever Transformers, and the Japanese started this pretty much, but whenever Transformers had human characters, there's always that one human character that the Transformers rely on. You know,
yeah.
We're this advanced species that are millions of years ahead of you guys. But oh, here's this like 10-year-old kid who has a ratchet and a screwdriver, and he's the only one that could fix me. You know, and Raph is the kind of guy like in episode 4. What just flipped me off with him? It's like he's looking at that like Decepticon like diagram readout, and he's like, "It looks important."
That's math.
It's math. It looks important, you know. It's like, and just 5 seconds ago, he was emoing out and because two people were fighting.
And you know, the emoing out, I actually was okay with because
I was super okay with that because we don't know anything about his backstory.
Yeah,
that is totally a like a kid in the middle of a rough family.
Yeah,
and he's in a
giant alien ship being shot at. So I was like, that works. But then right after he's like, oh hey, look, there's some math. And like,
yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, look, it's good. But and that's the same thing. We're and even less so Jack too. He's like Jack. I want to like Jack, but he's just one of these guys that's just like, you know, like he reminds me of Shinji from Eva, where it's like any other person.
Wow.
Hear me out, okay? God. Any other person in same scenario would be like Shinji. It was always like if you were in Shinji's scenario, you'd be like, holy crap, I'm piloting a giant robot, my life is amazing, oh my god, hot chicks are my co-pilots. But Shinji, he's all emoing out about it. Where Jack, it's the same thing. It's like, here Jack, you're now, you know, you have a motorcycle protecting you, giant, like, how Sam's handling it, you know? Like, you have this dude, in this case it's RC for him, but you have this, like, protector, and you got that motorcycle of your dreams, and there's action, and now your life is interesting instead of being, like, a drive-through guy. But what do? You complain, and you whine, and emo, making me like Miko of the three humans the most. Because you know why I like Miko? Because while one person is acting all dorky and emoing out, the other one's emoing out over the wrong things. If I was a real man, you have Miko, who's rock on, throwing the devil horns up in the air, telling it how it is and enjoying it, vomiting inside, Bulkhead, enjoy, just having a good time, you know? How I imagine if I was in the same scenario, I would be. I'd be crazy. I'd be enjoying it. And that's the character I'm connecting with the most.
That is a very different viewpoint than what some of us expressed on Primetime. And like I said on Primetime, this is why I'm opening it up in our spoiler sections outside of Primetime so we can get some of this stuff, you know, ancillary viewpoints outside of what we're doing on those recordings. I got to defend Jack to a degree, but I don't know. I'm still thrown by Miko's voice, although I did find out, was it you who tweeted about her backstory?
Her story is quite interesting. The voice actress for her was...
Yeah.
She came from Indonesia, and she got her citizenship, her whole family did, because in Indonesia they have like a lottery where you could earn American citizenship through a lottery, and she was one of the lucky few that get it. And like the first thing her family did when they came to America was like, we're going to audition you in television and acting and everything. And bang, next thing you know, she's on Disney and she's on this and she's on that. Boom, boom, boom. Now she's on Prime. And I almost want to say to myself, what are you doing with your citizenship today?
Yeah. And now I feel really awful for bringing up her accent is like, and, oh man, I don't know about an accent she's doing. It's like, oh, wait,
she's like- actually Asian.
Which then, see, I'm torn now, because now I'm like, I'm on the one hand, I'm like, that's such a touching story. How can it be so heartless and go like, oh, her accent doesn't work? At the same time, it's like, am I just, like, do I not know an Asian accent anymore? Or, like, I don't know.
Your mother ruined you.
Everything sounds German to me. I don't know. Omegas, Aaron, is there anything you think you're going to be bringing up next prime time? I mean, this is going to be our last prime time till February.
Yeah, seriously, eh? We got too much in one shot.
A lot of good things hit in 5.
And oh, I'll don't wait tonight.
So I don't spoil the guys here that haven't seen
it yet. Quiet, quiet.
We're going to go party later.
Like I said, good things happen in 5. There you go.
You found Fowler. Rock on.
You know what I'm going to be bringing up? This is one line I'm going to be bringing up, hopefully, if I remember it, which is, I recommend dissection. That's the greatest line I've ever heard a Transformer say, because it was Jeffrey Combs saying it, and he's goddamn Dr. Herbert West. By the way, if any of you, I include you guys, if at this point you've been watching Prime and you think Ratchet's voice is cool, and you still haven't seen at least the first Reanimator movie, then I disown you. So go watch it.
Or for people at least who saw Justice League, The Question.
DS9, yes. Wayoon.
Herbert West! Damn it! Herbert West! Am I the only one? Am I the only one who cares?
Being quiet, guys.
Seriously, if you guys have not seen him as Herbert West, you're missing so many beautiful parallels to him now playing a somewhat eccentric Ratchet. Like, it's 3 movies. The first one's totally worth watching. The second one, I think, is great. The third one is worth watching entirely for an older Jeffrey Combs. Go and watch him. Do it to cut. Hey, guys. Hey, Omegas, what you going to bring up on primetime? I feel calmed down. Excuse me.
Apparently, Jeffrey Combs. I mean, apparently I'm required.
You all have until Saturday night to watch the first Reanimator movie.
Yeah. I'm not going to say what I'm going to bring up, because that's what they're supposed to go listen to.
I'm trying to do a teaser thing here where you're all like, tune in to hear me talk about.
They're lucky I don't pay that. They're lucky they don't pay for admission to hear me.
There's so many things we can talk about. On our you know, variety of podcasts we do as the WTF at TFW podcast crew and RSS feed. Like, you could tune into Primetime, where we talk about Transformers Prime, or you could tune into the Book Club, where me and Aaron and GogDog discuss comic books with Transformers in them. Even some of our supplementals, where you can hear things such as music, cut sequences, interviews with convention staff, and etc. I don't know why I'm doing an advertisement spot right now.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right, anyway,
there's
a bit of movie news I want to cover. Very short, basically. Michael Bay has once again decided to taunt the internet and literally just call everyone stupid, which I love. I don't care if you don't like him. I think this is awesome. He says, quote, "Wow, I read these morons on the internet who think they are in the know. We have problems. Literally, we have problems with our 3D. Really? Come into my edit room and I will show you beautiful 3D. There has never been a live-action show that has pushed the boundaries of 3D like Transformers 3. We shot the entire movie with 3D cameras. I actually loved shooting in 3D, even though he said he thought 3D was stupid a couple months ago. I will give full details of my process and why I like 3D in the next week, right before the Transformers announcement piece comes out on Tron and Narnia. Michael." And then, like, literally, like, a minute later, one more post. "Oh, by the way, and don't watch the movie in 2D. We made it for 3D. And he totally just, like, did it. He went, like, slapped his chest and just walked off. Like, do something! So, what do you think? What do you feel about Michael Bay's words, Proto-Man?
The thing that bothers me is that he says, don't watch it in 2D. I actually was hoping to watch it in 2D because I personally didn't enjoy the, and I'll put it in quotes, Avatar experience. I'm not a glasses person.
If I may assume the character of Michael, I'm Michael Bay now, tell me that.
Mr. Bay, coming from one jock to another, why don't we just go watch a football game and forget all these nerds? But I know you got to make your money and explosions and everything.
You're going to watch it in 3D, right?
Yeah, go watch it in 3D. I'm trying not to swear on the podcast.
You ain't going
to
watch it in 2D, right? You're going to watch it in 3D, right?
I ain't watching it in 3D.
No! You watch it in 3D. Nobody watches 2D. It's my movie.
I sat in Avatar holding these stupid glasses above my nasal bridge because it was so annoying to have something on my face while watching.
That movie was a movie for pussies. I'm Michael Bay. I made Man 3D. You don't watch it in 2D unless you a pussy.
Yeah, it had floating islands. Never seen that in Transformers before.
3D, not 2D. 3D. I'm Michael Bay. Michael, out!
You know we're going to see him next year, eh?
I know.
I just know it.
I know.
He's going to show up and troll
all of us.
He's
going to check us all out.
I want another high five, so I'm just keeping my mouth shut.
He's going to check us all out. He's going to be scrutinizing the crowd. Anyone who doesn't have the glasses on, he's going to run over and just punch you in the mouth.
We have someone without the 3D glasses on. What's your name? Reads my tag. Proto man. More like proto woman.
It's like he sees someone when the lights are going down, starts sliding the glasses off. He's like, no! Turn the lights back on!
Like, who's that? Who's that guy?
from across the room, he's just pointing like, who? Tell me his name! Get him out of here! Walks over, punches you in the mouth. And you're not even the one who's taking the glasses off. You just happen to be closest to him. Oh man, next BlockCon's going to be awesome.
It's going to be crazy in Pasadena.
Hey, Omegas, how do you feel about Michael Bay?
Now I really hope The Rock comes to BotCon. You know, this is a wrestling angle at this point.
And cut promos at each other.
As much as I love
Michael Bay, supplies the pyro.
I think that The Rock could out promo Michael Bay.
If Dwayne Johnson like cuts a promo on Michael Bay, it'll without a doubt be the best convention ever. There will be a million San Diego Comic-Cons to come, but they will not be able to top that.
That will be the most circulated YouTube video for months if The Rock...
Michael Bay! Bring your stuff in here on The Rock! Like, I can only imagine. it would be the most amazing thing ever. It's like Vince McMahon all over him, you know?
I was going to say, it's like Mr. Bay.
Like, you just, like, people's elbow him right in front of everyone. We'd all lose it. You know that, eh? We'd all... Like, I could just picture, like, Hasbro would be, like, pulling their hair out. What the hell's going on?
What? But he just... And then we... And,
We didn't think this was gonna happen.
Hey, Aaron, what do you think about Michael Bay?
I think that he's just trying to kind of go back on before. Although, I mean, I will... In the defense of the guy, say that when he was first talking...
Hey, I got someone on my side! You're going to watch a movie in 3D, right?
When he was first talking S about 3D, he
hadn't had my question.
A camera in hand. I probably will watch it in 3D.
Good man! Michael!
Probably after he started to play with 3D cameras, he realized, hey, this isn't some, you know, gimmicky thing. You know, they have the 3D cameras
that
are... Watch,
he's trolling all this time again, and he actually still really hates 3D.
Well, then he's trolling against himself. So.
Well, no, he's gonna hate 3D if that's
the
thing.
He's done it before. That's the problem.
If that's what all the critics start citing as one of the things they hated about the movie, he's just gonna be all like, yeah, well, whatever. I didn't like 3D in the first place. I just made a whole pile of money saying all that stuff. Michael!
Bay.
What about the people with vertigo and motion sickness?
No!
They can't watch 3D.
Penny Arcade did a great comic about that, actually. It's just... Like, they had a 3D television set at home, and it's like, so it's a TV that only two people in the room could watch.
Yep.
And I was like, yep, that pretty much sums up the future of 3D television.
That's how every futuristic thing works. Only two people can do it at once. You know, that's like... That's why the Kinect is so much better than the Wii, because only two people can play.
Hey, did you guys see Demolition Man?
Original movie with Sylvester Stallone, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Taco Bell World.
Remember when they had mental sex? Only two people could do that.
Well, there was no third headset around. Maybe there's some kind of threesome attachment. Multi-port. I still want to know how the clamshells work. I'm still confused.
You don't know how the clamshells work?
You don't understand that?
I still don't.
Oh, man. It's 2010.
We're going to have to talk later.
Anyway, that's all I got. I think Aaron wanted to bring up, though, something very important that he did.
Yes, I forgot about it on what we got because it wasn't something that I got, but it was something that I gave.
That is a good... Good line. I'm sorry.
And 'Tis the season and all that. And this year, again, I have donated to the two Christmas time, holiday time charities I do. One of them is Child's Play Charity, which is something that's run by the guys at Do Penny Arcade. We've talked about them already randomly on this podcast, where you go to, I believe it's childsplaycharity.org. Go to Google, type in Child's Play Charity to get the right thing. And they have worldwide children's hospitals that you can choose to donate toys, video games, movies. I think they're up to like 40 some odd different hospitals all across the U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, a couple in the U.K., and I think there's one in like Egypt or something. But you choose a hospital, and then it takes you to an Amazon wish list page. And so then you go through their wish list. You find some things that you want to buy. You buy it, and it sends it straight to the hospital. I think you can choose to do it anonymously or not. And then it's done. They've already raised $700,000 or so in stuff. And then the neat thing is, since they run as an Amazon partner, they get a certain percentage of those sales, and they use that money to either support like their website and whatnot, that's that direct stuff, and all the rest of that, then they will go through those wish lists again and kind of recursively buy more stuff. So everything that you put into it goes to it. Great charity. It's a good way to go out there and show, all of us mind-rotted video game geek people, we're not good for anything except for, making sure these sick kids can have a better experience with the horrible stuff that they got to go through when they're in a lot of these hospitals. And then the other one that I did might have had a little bit of backside benefit for myself in that Toys R Us had Toys for Tots bins out, and so I went and bought some peg warmers and Battleblade, Bumblebee, and Cybertron Optimus Prime, and put them straight in the bin to hopefully clear out some of those peg warmers. So
that's the most charitable way to clear out peg warmers. Like, yeah. Listen, I will give you some money, give the toys away, put new ones out.
Yeah. So
let me help you get rid of those tuna mud flaps.
I didn't go for tuna mud flap.
He's too classy to do that.
I respect these kids.
We're
supposed to make them happy.
Two and a Z Attack Ravage. So it's the new Tuner Mud Flap, but at least it's modern packaging.
You're a horrible person.
But hey, there's three deluxe toys in the bin that some kid that may not have had toys for Christmas or anything for Christmas is going to get. So you guys got plenty of time, unless Evangelist takes forever to get this podcast out. Go and $10.
I have till Christmas, right?
Before then, hopefully. A lot of these charities will dry up before then because they're giving these gifts. But do it for other people. And if you can do like I did at Toys R Us and maybe clear out some of those pegs, that's cool too. But, there are people out there that if you're sitting there thinking about buying a toy or not, there are people out there worse off than you are.
Yeah.
That have to sit there and think, okay, do we have the money to buy food tonight? And so
there are a lot of good charity things going on right now. There's Toys for Tots. There's the stuff. There's Child's Play. There's a few. There's low key ones done by folks who I have grown to trust as well. Like, I know that there's going to be another YouTube Transformers Peeps charity drive by the UKers. I know that friend of the podcast, Nicole Hailstorm, has something going on with her own show she's doing called Random Fandom. They are raising money for a child with Down syndrome to prevent him from being put in a mental institution. There's a whole bunch of great stuff, and it is the season. And Aaron, let's say, all right, I am that horrible person who has hundreds and hundreds of dollars of money that I do not need, and I decide, like, screw the needy. I'm going to go buy myself three lobsters, live ones, and I'm going to make them kill each other so I can eat them. What happens to me?
The victor lobster kills you.
Exactly.
You're like, haha, you shall be the one
So, ladies and gentlemen.
His name is C-Clamp.
Ladies and gentlemen. Why should you do something charitable this season? Because if you don't, a lobster will kill you. So yep. I'm just saying. I mean that as a helpful motivation. I might send the lobster. That really does it for us this week. This is going to be a long one.
Yeah.
So thank you, Proto Man, for stopping by in our free spot this week.
It's a pleasure. Always will.
CYBCA is the Canadian website where you too can go there and post in the sightings threads. And again, Omegas and Aaron, as always, have come by for the even team times. So I'll see you guys probably on Saturday, I'm guessing.
You mean today?
Yeah, that's right. Forgot about time zones. Yeah, I'll see you. Right. See you later tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Just for everyone listening, I am selling my Cooking with Kano friendship card to afford a $175 memory on eBay. It's worth it.
I love that he brought up Cooking with Kano, but I think that his Skype also just died.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Oh, you're okay. The last thing you said on our end went like, I'm like it stretched it. Packet lost you across like twice as long as you needed to.
Wow.
Anyway, I was gonna say Cooking with Kano was my favorite card from that Mortal Kombat game. So
I actually do have it.
I have three Cooking with Kano cards. I love that card. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later. Tune in for Primetime and Book Club and other stuff. Kisses!
What the f*** it means, but you got some badass perpetrators that are here to stay.